It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak and Mike Elgin are here to talk about the week's tech news, Yahoo Mail on hold, the hiatus on the Google's barge, scary Google robots, and Instagram goes direct. It's all next on TWiT. You stay here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 436, recorded December 15th, 2013. We're going to need a bigger dial. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients anywhere. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. Even present from an iPad. Try it free for 30 days. No credit card required to get started. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by stamps.com. Use stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. And we had decided to have a little small panel here so we could get together a week before the holidays and just really get down and talk with John C. Dvorak, Dvorak.com/blog, channel Dvorak.com, and
Dvorak.org, Dvorak.org/blog/NA.
NA.
Something like that.
Already it started. Hey, John. He's wearing the shirt.
From the North Dakota State University Bisons, the national champions. They repeated this year, and I need to repeat one if you guys...
So this is last year's?
Yes, I got a couple of these.
Oh, John, I expected better of you.
Well, this just won the other day.
Oh, okay. And nobody's provided you with the new one.
They just won. Like
2013 edition.
The new version.
Yeah. And then, of course, 2014 when they
could
win again.
They could three-peat. That'd be the second in the history of NCAA football to do that, the original being Appalachian State. They did it 3 years
in a row.
And do
you have an Appalachian State
I have tons of Appalachian State
gear. Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
Oh.
I went to the University of California, and they're the worst football team, and the athletic director should be fired, and the coach should be too. They lost. They won nothing. And so I had to find these obscure teams that win.
To wear their shirt. You don't want to wear a Cal shirt.
No, you'd look like an idiot.
Also here, our newest staff member, well, not yet, but soon at TWiT, Mike Elgin of Elgin.com and Google Plus. And it's so great to have you, Mike.
So great to be here. I actually went to UCLA, which wins in sports.
And they do. And it's, it's part of the same system. And it stuns me that the lead university within this system
is UCLA.
Can't win. No. They're second rate, that school. All the money should go to Cal Berkeley, and they apparently refuse to pay. I don't want to get into it. Why did I even bring it up?
Why? Anyway, Mike will be taking over Tech News Today starting at the beginning of the year, and we're so glad to have you aboard.
So
you brought your family,
aboard.
Your son, who just is about to get married.
Yep.
That's very exciting.
Kevin,
his fiancée, who's about to pass out. Your son told me that he made a deal when he proposed that he would get to wear Google Glass during the ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she's a keeper, that one.
Boy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see. Actually, it's a good idea because family and friends who couldn't be at the event,
right,
they can see it from the groom's point of view.
That's right.
I think we should get her some glass so that her side could see it from her point of view.
That's right.
Yeah? No.
She's not that good of a sport.
That was pretty unequivocal. No.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Did you see the robot that Google just bought? The eighth company that Google has bought this year. They're on a buying spree for Andy Rubin, who is now, we've found, running the new robotics division of Google. If you weren't scared of Google before, you will be scared now. This is a company called Boston Dynamics, which is a spinoff from MIT.
We've seen the robots. They're creepy.
This is... is this Big Dog or Cheetah? Oh,
Wildcat.
Sorry, it's Wildcat.
Fastest robot in the world.
This runs faster than Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
It's gas-driven, which kind of... They've been doing these for the Department of Defense
under
contract.
I like all the smoke coming off this piece of crap.
I'm terrified. No. I'm scared. Yep. This is scary. This robot... Okay, first of all, it's going to go that way, and then it's going to build up some speed and come back the other way. Are these autonomous, or are they remote-controlled? Does it even matter?
The company, Watch Boston out, Dynamics, specializes in replicating animal and human locomotion. So they don't do the intelligence part. You notice it doesn't have a head. They actually did come up with a head for the big dog, which can actually pick up a cinder block
and throw it 17 feet.
It's terrifying. But they're simulating animal locomotion. What's brilliant about these robots is you can go up and knock them over, and they'll rebalance themselves. They're really phenomenal.
That's my question. Are you simulating animal locomotion because it's really more efficient, or just because it's terrifying? I mean, what is the... Wouldn't a tank tread be more efficient?
It looks like he's actually going backwards.
It's weird.
Well, I mean, everybody has a different view about what they do about it.
Whoopsies. But see, it survived.
The Pentagon is thinking, a pack mule, and, the obvious response to that is, how about a mule?
Right.
That would be... You can get a mule in Afghanistan for $10.
Yeah.
But it's, it's fascinating technology, and...
What does Google want with this?
Well, Google is in the algorithm business primarily, and we're getting to a point at which we're going to have robots and all kinds of things, and Google is probably going to be very good at the part that of robotics that's missing here. This is the locomotion.
Right.
What Google can be very good at is the application. So the most immediate and googly kind of application would be a disaster relief. A big earthquake somewhere, there's rubble everywhere, the roads are toast. And for some reason you can't fly in, you can actually send supplies in with some of these robots. They also have robots that climb walls and do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. But Google is the kind of company where they just can just invest billions and billions of dollars in things just because it could end up being something cool someday.
This is a big dog, and they're showing... That's not big dog. What is that? You can't touch this. That's the hammer robot. I think that is.
Yeah.
That's what we'll be seeing on the streets.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know why they
citizen.
Is he taking a dump there? What is the deal?
He's looking around in a squat.
It's a pile of batteries on the floor.
A little
floor
bit there. Of Tai Chi.
The interesting thing about
this... Are you Sarah Connor? Come with me if you want to live.
Wait a minute! It's doing jumping jacks.
Now Google has said actually that they're going to honor the existing Pentagon contracts, but they're not going to start any new contracts.
So they're now a defense contractor.
They are for the contracts that already exist, but they're going to get out of it as soon as they can, which is really interesting for the Pentagon because the Pentagon I think was counting on these guys to provide robotic mules and stuff like that. So now the Pentagon
it
has
seems
to
like a mule would be just so much of a better choice than this.
Yeah, the thing is that it's software and it's robotics, which means that this is...
That's the interesting thing, is the intelligence involved and so forth.
And this is version 1.0. I mean, apply Moore's Law to this and go forward into the future 15 years, and it's going to be probably something very amazing.
The problem
is Moore's Law really only applies to semiconductors and because throwing it on everything
that's
else.
That's true, but I mean, but we know that it's been advancing at an incredible clip. And it will continue to do it. And by the way,
software advances at roughly the same, don't you think?
Not at all.
Law speeds, no?
No, I think that's why the machine, everything has come to a grinding halt, and we're having to use pads like Mike does, because software's dropped dead, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But if you look at this technology, this kind of thing would have been perfectly impossible 10 years ago. It's just advancing so quickly. And by the way, the Google self-driving car itself is a robot.
Right.
That's what it is. It's a robot that uses off-the-shelf parts, namely a car.
This is impressive. I mean, I could see why they're using animal locomotion. This thing is able to handle
this
ice.
This actually is kind of interesting.
It's pretty impressive. They kicked it over, and look at this. This looks just like a drunk human.
This needs to be in a movie. Yeah. Oh, it is in a movie. Yeah. What am I saying?
It kind of looks like two guys, with their legs.
It really looks
the
human.
Bottom. Yeah.
No, it looks like two guys trying to carry something.
Yeah.
John, I hope we're dead before this takes off. That's all.
If we're not dead, it'll kill us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's fascinating.
Andy Rubin, if you're going to put somebody in charge of something, I imagine, he's a guy who spent his whole life doing robotics. In fact, Android, the operating system which he helmed, was really a sideline for him. It wasn't something that he wanted to be
I'm sure he wanted to be doing it, but it wasn't his dream job.
And the name Android suggests his passion. Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, the Google barges are on hiatus.
What happened? This story I missed.
Government happened. The Coast Guard and the agency in charge of the Bay, San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission, has said, whoa, what are you doing? You can't just build a scary giant barge and put it. One of the rules of the Bay Commission is that you can't do something on the bay that you could reasonably do on land.
I get it. They didn't pay off the right people.
That's right.
Essentially, what happened was they pointed out that they wanted to sort of float the thing over to San Francisco,
right.
The San Francisco side, and have people on board and
at
have
Fort Mason.
A demo thing. Yeah. In fact, the Google internally calls it apparently the San Francisco Studio. That's their internal name for this thing. And somebody said, well, you can't come into the harbor in San Francisco. You don't have a permit. And then somebody said, do you have a permit to be on Treasure Island? And so I think that there's a permitting, like they're just doing this stuff. And so CNET apparently has been watching this thing, constantly, and said that there's been no workers, no nothing going on with this thing since October. So it looks like it's on hiatus.
It was a stupid idea to begin.
Why? No, I disagree with that. I think it was a really interesting idea. They had the opportunity to do, what Apple stores do, which is, but only temporarily, because there's nothing like, Apple has to keep these stores open all year round. This would be like Christmas, like one of those special Christmas stores.
Right.
You roll, and it's novelty.
It's a pop-up store, basically.
It's a pop-up store. It's a novelty. People would have flocked into this thing, though.
I think
they would have, I would have wanted to go inside.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they would have probably done a business of selling those little crappy tablets and some of the other junk that they have. And
is there enough money selling crappy tablets to justify?
Ask Apple. Yeah. Whatever the case.
Yeah,
this was
down on tablets all of a sudden. Suddenly you hate tablets.
I will just for this show. For purposes of this show.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for purposes of this show, Mr. Dvorak will be down on tablets.
Down
for the
on
remainder
tablets.
Of the episode.
I think it would have been great, but
Difference is that in for the Apple comparison is that Apple sells massively expensive, profitable things in huge numbers in their stores.
That's right.
And
Google
highly
does not
profitable.
Try to make money on
this
it.
This is a soft, warm, and fuzzy thing where they just want people to have a general feeling about it. And there's, it's got to be expensive to build a barge and maintain it. You have to hire a skipper and
it's even more expensive now, we can tell you.
Yeah. I mean, you now go on there for a 3-hour tour and
It has sales, even though it doesn't sale. It has fake sales on it.
Yeah. Well, they were going to have a sale after Christmas anyway.
It's a weird thing.
Google's a weird thing. When a company is so successful that they can just spend money on moonshots and on just, hey, we think it might be interesting to see what it's like. I mean, they've got the drone delivery system. They've already been looking at that, much like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
What a fake that is.
You don't believe that.
Well, you should have read my column. I had a column on this.
Was that on a new domain.net?
PC Mag, I believe.
Okay.
And I said this was a sucker.
Yeah. Charlie Rose. Sucker.
Oh, my God. Charlie Rose is like very gullible.
You know who didn't get sucker? Charlie Rose. You know why? Did they get what they wanted out of it? Great numbers?
Everybody, it's a win-win
it's
for
a win,
everybody
win,
except
win.
The saps who bought into this.
I don't
this.
Think Charlie Rose is a sap. I think he knew exactly what was happening. And in fact, they even teased it at the beginning of the 60 Minutes piece. You won't believe what Jeff Bezos is planning.
If you want some guy who's just going to fall all over himself, you got the right guy. But you'd think he could ask one smart question.
Tough question, like what about the FAA? Or
what about it killing dogs? What about people shooting them out of the sky? There's a million things. How's it going to land on my porch, which is kind of hard to find?
I think we've now understand why Google has purchased Big Dog. It's to take on the Amazon drones. Get ready. We're going to have drone battles in the streets.
That's actually, you
could jump up and down like a whippet.
They actually are competitors in terms. So right now we look at drones as remote control toy flying helicopters. That's essentially what they are. They're remote control. Right. There's a little intelligence. Even the consumer ones have a little intelligence. For example, if you just let go of the controls, they hover in space. But, go forward 5 years, and they're just robots that have a different form of locomotion. And, in fact, drones have a superior form of locomotion to a certain extent. It's much more efficient to go flying through the air than it is to navigate.
Don't have to worry about ice.
Surface or lots of things. And so, you know, there are going to be all kinds of forms of robots that, you know, of locomotion for robots. And drones are going to be, great. There's a lot of research being done, for example, that allow them to fly safely indoors. So the dog issue and being shot out of the sky, who knows, maybe they have little missiles that shoot back or something like that.
But oh, great.
But that's what I'd like
to see. Have an escalation.
Yeah. You know.
They're purely defensive.
That's right.
These missiles.
That's right. If there's collateral damage, well,
Amazon. The CEO of eBay, which does, by the way, a service called eBay Now, delivery of goods in an hour. You have to buy it from a local store. And a personal eBay shopper delivers it. The CEO on Bloomberg TV, John Donahue, said, "We're not focusing on long-term fantasies. We're focusing on things we can do today." Talking about the Amazon drones.
I think that's a reasonable point of view. I mean, you know, it's definitely a fantasy within 5 years.
Don't you feel that is, in the tech industry, famous last words?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, this... This stuff is never, Bitcoin's never going to go anywhere. You know, none of this stuff is ever going to go anywhere. I think that's always famous last words. That Facebook thing said the CEO of MySpace, that Facebook thing, it's not going to ever go anywhere.
But let's do a thought experiment. So Amazon is in the, massive shipping. Have you ever seen the inside of an Amazon fulfillment center? They are moving so many boxes, it's mind-blowing. Right. So let's say, for example, in a single
Most
city.
Most of them to my house.
Let's imagine San Francisco and a single day, and, they'll still deliver by trucks, but let's say Amazon's going to, ship some percentage of their goods via drones. 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 drones in the sky at the same time flying around San Francisco. This is not going to happen in 5 years. Just from a legal point of view, there's no way this is going to happen.
No.
So...
Bezos said we expect FAA approval in 2015, but I think that's just a small amount of the regulatory approval.
They don't even have full of crap. He was doing this just to get attention.
It's all about attention.
It's all about attention.
They didn't even have approval to make the YouTube video.
Really?
That was done outside the U.S. because it's illegal to fly one of these things across an open field.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. So it's like,
by the way, 173 gone.
Wow. So what do you
have? 250 total.
So you're going to sell out during this show.
I wish I had drone delivery right now.
What are you charging for these things?
$30. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
No, it is. Feel how solid that is.
I can't imagine anything else that's such a good deal as this.
Look at the workmanship, John.
Look at the workmanship. It looks just like me.
It's a piece of plastic with a head that bobbles.
No, but John, but a lot of times.
It doesn't even look like you.
If you get bobbleheads.
Who does that look like?
It looks just like me.
It looks like Greg Kinnear. Come on.
Well, I look like Greg Kinnear when you get close. This is the Leo Chief Twit bobblehead doll. I'm sitting on a ball. I admit I look a little thinner than I am in person. What are you laughing at?
It's accurate.
That was loud laughter. I don't know if I appreciate it. He's not as thin as he is.
It is accurate because, in fact, I've seen you sit on a ball.
Yeah, and that ball, though, that's smaller than my ball. That's a small ball. But we had to make it small to fit in the box.
I think it's the same size ball.
Well, it's in proportion, you think, to the... I don't know. Anyway, teespring.com/twit. I shouldn't even mention it. They'll be gone by the time you get there. 174. Yep. We only have 250 of them. We're going to sell out. No, I don't think we're going to make more. I think this should be.
No, the idea, Lisa, is that you tease it as though that's it. You're done.
That's it.
Get in now.
Explain it to her, will you, John?
And then later you can go, by popular demand, we made more.
The company in China actually broke the mold. I had them break the mold so there would be no more of these.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. That's a good bald-faced lie. No, they got the mold. They're just waiting there. Resin supplies are stocked up. They're ready. They could make more if we really had to, but only if we sold 250.
Can the head come off?
Should I pull the head?
No, this got a spring. It looks like you'll stretch the spring and ruin it.
Yeah, so that's nice. It's one of those bobbleheads you can't get the head off.
I like the noise.
High quality.
Can a child have this? It's not lead paint. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix. We have a winner. We have a winner. Remember, we had a contest last week with GoToMeeting. Let me first tell you about GoToMeeting. It's that great software that lets you meet with clients and colleagues all over the world anytime. This time of year, it's especially valuable. People are away for the holidays. They can't get to the office because of the weather, a big snowstorm and back east. And everybody's getting this, the flu and the colds. You know, it doesn't mean business stops. It just means you meet with GoToMeeting from Citrus is how we have our meetings. Even if you're just going to do a conference call, we always set up a GoToMeeting because if you want to share screens, you can. You just press a button. And if you want to see each other face-to-face, you can with their HD faces, crystal clear video. All you got to do is turn on that webcam and your meeting is now a group video conference. I know a lot of groups that keep GoToMeeting running all day. It's how they work together. It's how they collaborate. You can start or attend a GoToMeeting from any Mac, any PC, smartphone or tablet. You can even present from an iPad. So it's that good. We love GoToMeeting. We use it. And we invite you to try it. Visit GoToMeeting.com. And you'll host a GoToMeeting in seconds from your computer or mobile device. You don't need a credit card. Just visit GoToMeeting.com. And you'll get a 30-day free trial. Click that Try It Free button. The promo code is TWIT, T-W-I-T. Now, we have a $300 Apple gift card. We asked you last week to tweet. And do you have an image? Do you have this image, Chad? Or should I enter it in? I can hold it up. It's kind of small. We asked you to tweet where you would like to meet us or have a GoToMeeting, and he said he'd like to have a GoToMeeting from the top of Haleakala at sunrise. I would, too.
That's a bit much.
I would, too. Jesse,
so he wins $300 because of that comment?
Well, we chose at random, but I happen to like this comment a lot. Jesse Peters, congratulations, and we will get you your $300 Apple gift card. This is not associated with Apple, of course.
What was the point of this contest?
Just for fun.
Just out of the blue with no point?
There's absolutely no point. It was just for fun.
Huh.
And I think that we got a really good one. Haleakala would be beautiful. Ever been there?
Yeah, actually, I have. No, I've never been to the top of it.
I would love to be at the top. Look at this picture.
Take a chopper.
I wish I could show you, but frankly, it's... There it is.
There it is.
Holy moly. Did he take that picture? He did.
Yeah, from a chopper.
Jesse, you're a hell of a photographer. That is beautiful. Backlight photo. Well, no wonder. He's a pro. Thank you, Jesse. You've got your gift card coming out to you. Thanks for tweeting with us. And the rest of you, please try GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com and use our offer code TWIT for 30 days free. You do not need a credit card. Hey, John.
Yo.
No, you don't live in San Francisco proper. You probably can't use this Amazon Fresh.
What's Amazon?
The grocery service.
This is WebVan 2.
They are in Seattle. They're in Los Angeles. And now... What? $299 a year?
Yep.
Yeah, but the guys who use it are going to be using it a lot.
Well, yeah, if you pay $300. So it's like a Prime membership.
Yep.
And then does that cover delivery or?
Yeah, it covers the delivery. It's actually the best part of it is there's a 30-day free trial.
Ah.
So
fresh produce, meats, and dairy delivered same day or next day.
Yep.
This is for the guys who are working 18 hours a day in the hellhole offices and cubicles of San Francisco. They can't get out to eat. They need their food delivered.
It's
a sweatshop. Yeah. I would rather go look at the fruits and vegetables myself.
No, but you're that kind of person. You saw the video on 60 Minutes. The woman was picking the fruits and vegetables, going through it,
scam.
Stripping off.
Oh, yeah, sure they are.
The genius of it is in addition to perishable items like fish and things like that, you can get electronics and books.
Can so you? It's you all can, part of the same delivery?
Yeah, you can get a baguette and a fish and an iPhone.
Sounds
like
delicious.
All on the same delivery.
It's free delivery on orders of $35 or more. That's why you pay $300 for the membership. You also get a Prime membership with it. So,
that's delicious.
San Franciscans shouldn't get too excited. It's only covering 12 of the 51 zip codes within the city.
Aha.
So a tiny minority of lucky.
But wasn't this the problem?
That means it's not out in the sunset. It's not where people live. It's where people work.
Probably.
For all these poor schlubs who are killing themselves.
You can get a tasty apple pie from Three Babes Bake Shop.
Wow.
I would love an apple pie.
Well, maybe
fresh salmon from the San Francisco. I might just move to San Francisco.
A salmon.
Mm. And they have a mobile app that'll do this.
Is it a real salmon or a farmed salmon where the white goo comes out? And the salmon stinks. That's the problem with most salmon. I can't stand salmon from around here.
Always an optimist.
Lady hit you on the head with
stinks.
A purse.
Was he?
What happened there?
Got
did
hit
somebody
in the head.
Go, you're such a bad man, John D. DeWart.
So I got hit in the head and A hockey puck, by the way.
A hockey puck?
And now I can play 5 musical instruments. It's unbelievable.
Were you at a Sharks game? Where did you get it on the head with a hockey puck?
It's a long story. Well, it's not really worth talking about.
Okay. So I like the idea of doing this, but you're right. We saw it with Peapod, which was Safeway's service. I think that's still around. Webvan went out of business. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, I think, economically. I think the economics of it are difficult. But I guess what they do is they say the $2.99 is our profit. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the issue that Amazon is facing is that they actually sell less in terms of revenue than Costco and any of these other stores, partly because when you buy from Amazon...
Wait a minute, say that again. They make less revenue?
Yeah, they sell fewer products or less revenue than the targets.
Per order?
No, in general, overall.
In general.
There's light margins.
And a big reason is when you go to Costco, you're leaving with a car full of stuff.
$500 worth of toilet paper that I don't need.
Exactly. When you buy something from Amazon, it's going to be a little box. It's one thing or a couple of things.
Right.
And so
that's not economical for them.
Exactly. So they're trying to come up with ways to make it economical for you to order a Costco-sized load of junk or food or whatever it is you're going to get. And, you know, they're experimenting with all kinds of ways to do that. They say that they have 500,000 items available through this project. So
that's the problem with Subscribe and Save, which I do use.
Yeah.
That's a service that Amazon's had for some time that no one knows about it. They don't even put it on the front page. And you get like 5 or 10% off because you're ordering it on a regular basis.
Right.
But it's really kind of embarrassing to have a box that is really, you know, the size you could put a pony in and it's just filled with toilet paper. Yeah. It's kind of amazing. Kind of embarrassing.
I got a box the other day from Amazon that had a little bitty thing inside, a giant box.
Every time.
Yeah,
what a waste.
I think they're running out. They have too many big boxes.
Yeah.
And so they put little things in them and ship it off.
You got a micro SD card and it came in this gigantic.
Yeah,
I've had that happen. It's like not always. Sometimes the box is the right size for the product, but every once in a while you get this huge box.
You think they're just clearing out the stock?
I think they're clearing out the stock of boxes.
Here's the other part that makes it more economical, though. In addition to delivering things, they'll also pick things up. So if you want to return something to Amazon, they'll pick it up. That means that Amazon can sort of collectivize their
They're already out in there
in
the truck.
If you return something to Amazon, they have to pay for the shipping, right? So
drop it off at the truck.
Right. Well, this is interesting, John, because they're about to, apparently, according to USA Today, launch Amazon Pantry.
Yeah.
If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can buy packaged goods in a set size box with a maximum weight limit. So you're paying for the box? Pantry's, I don't understand.
So this is another part of the strategy to compete with the Costcos of the world. They're trying to
canned goods.
Right. They want to have a maximum limit. So it's the same price no matter how much up to the limit. So they're trying to incentivize you to maximize the number of things you buy, right? Because the shipping's the same.
Like the post office when you buy that prepaid box,
right?
You tend to stuff it full of stuff.
Stuff it full of everything. Here's some rocks, whatever. By the way, this hasn't been announced yet. This is a leak. Yeah, exactly. But it's supposedly going to, you know, all anonymous sources, going to launch next year.
2,000 items, not a giant selection.
Right.
But wait a minute, I don't get it. Am I paying a flat rate for the box, or do I pay for the goods in the box?
You pay for the goods in the box, but the shipping part of it is the same. And one of the yet another problem that that Amazon has compared with Costco and these places is you're not going to buy paper towels and stuff like that from Amazon.
It's prohibitive.
Item. But this invites you to get everyday frivolous items in addition to the other things you're ordering because they make it economically viable for the consumer. So they're really just trying to they're trying to get everybody to quadruple the number of things they buy from Amazon.
Right.
And, you know,
this is a big market, $850 billion a year market according to USA Today.
Yep.
The packaged goods market.
Yeah.
So, huge. But if I'm an Amazon Prime member, I'm already getting free shipping. So there's no incentive for me to take advantage of this, right?
Well, I believe this, according to these sources, it's only going to be for Amazon Prime. So in addition to everything else, it's an incentive to join Amazon Prime for people who want this service.
Well, but I don't pay shipping on a 2-day. So this is something faster? Same day?
Yeah. I mean, the details on this are sketchy. And it's probably it's unlikely that Amazon has even finalized those kinds of details. You know, there's a whole lot we don't know about this. All we know is that anonymous sources are claiming that this is all happening.
But you don't buy canned goods, John?
Yeah, I go to the store and buy canned goods.
Okay. You mocked. It sounded like you were mocking.
Well, why would anyone ship canned? This is like Petco, Pets.com, and they were shipping dog food.
Right.
What?
Worse, kitty litter. They're shipping clay, 50-pound bags of clay.
It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think this is dumb.
But there's an efficiency to not having to get in the car, drive over, and pick up the 50 pounds.
Get out of the house once in a while, people.
I don't want
to. And go to Costco?
Yeah.
I mean, Costco.
It's a nice walk. It's better than playing golf in a cart. But in the olden days when I was a golfer, we used to walk the course.
Are you saying that we have to rewrite the old line golf as a great walk ruined?
It was a great walk ruined, and now the Costco thing, which you don't want to go to, is a nice walk. You get to walk. You're out with people.
Costco actually is a brilliant marketing strategy because you have loss leader items. People think they're getting a deal, and you can't go in there and not come out spending hundreds of dollars.
Well, that's usually a couple hundred.
You buy a TV. You buy more toilet paper than you'll ever use. You buy a giant bag of peanut butter-filled pretzels. We still have that giant bag because those were good. And you end up having more stuff than you could ever want.
You go into there to buy a toothbrush, and you buy a dozen toothbrushes because that's the minimum order.
Yeah. It's a brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
What is the consensus on Jeff Bezos? Smart man?
Well, he's definitely some sort of a genius, but he's also a screamer.
He laughs funny. You've said that.
He's got a funny laugh, he's a retailing genius of some sort. And, he's entertaining. He's a character. I don't mind the guy. I mean, I think it's bad that he treats his employees by screaming at him, but that's very common in
I scream at my employees.
Ah, that's okay. We got it. I needed that verification. Thank you very much.
You can now write the article.
Yes, it's done.
Who does it, though? I mean, Jobs was famous
Lots
for that.
Lots of people
Bill
don't.
Bill Gates was famous.
Lots of
Ballmer
people don't.
Ballmer was famous for
Lots
that.
Of people don't. Those guys
and
all
those guys are losers.
No, they're not trained properly to manage. I mean, they have to yell at people to get them to do something is ludicrous.
Did you see Mary Jo Foley's interview with Steve Ballmer? It was an interesting story. Mm-hmm. She, I think Ballmer's on his victory lap. He's trying to get the articles about, his legacy.
He needs something for the scrapbook.
Playing it for history.
He's playing it for history. And he called somebody who is not known as a Microsoft apologist, Mary Jo Foley. In fact, she hasn't been let on the campus in some time because they're worried about the scoops that she gets. Nevertheless, she's always said that she likes Steve Ballmer. And
Steve's a very likable guy, actually.
Yeah, he feels like he's like a salesman. Like you would, that's what he does, right? He's like a glad hander.
He's a glad hander, yes.
Yep. She said that one of the things she learned about him, this is not the most interesting. Well, no, it might be the most interesting. It has nothing to do with Microsoft. He never forgets a shoe.
Sorry?
So if he meets you, he will remember. I think it's a salesman trick. He'll remember you by your shoes. He can tell you what the footwear was of anybody he's met in the last 20 years.
I find this hard to believe. I think it's bullcrap. But if it is true, that is a salesman's
maybe
trick.
He should
it
be
seems
the,
like it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those gimmicks.
He should be the CEO of Hush Puppies or something like that.
He also says that
there's your pervert.
His son,
a possibility,
both.
Well, and this is the other thing Mary Jo told me that I said, "Well, what was he wearing? Trademark khakis and dress, open collar dress shirt." He comes in the room, takes off his shoes
because he doesn't want anyone remembering them,
and puts his feet up, his socked feet up on the table.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope he washes.
That's
a
unpleasant
lot.
To me. Yeah. I don't
want
to.
I don't want like that. No.
No. It's the usual. I have regrets, but I don't like to look backward. I like to go forward. Don't forget, I tripled Microsoft's profits in my tenure. I introduced things like the Xbox. They had her. It was interesting. Had her interview Robbie Bach, who's no longer at Microsoft, before she talked to Microsoft Counsel. What's his name? Fred. Before she talked to Ballmer.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, she talked to Satya Nadella, who is one of the people rumored to be a candidate for CEO. It feels like it was very orchestrated. Mm-hmm. Francis X. Shaw, the Microsoft PR guy's in the room during this interview.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Just in case.
Like
in case he has to do some damage control afterwards.
Yeah.
Very common.
Not at all. Yeah, these guys never get to meet alone.
No.
Anyway, good on Mary Jo for getting it. She had a lot of interesting insights. Yep. She talked about Steve Ballmer's business, five rules for good business.
What is his five rules for good business?
Let me find it here.
Always remember the shoes.
Don't forget the shoes.
But, he talks about increasing profits and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he really wants to go there because if you look at the valuation of the company from the point he took over, I think, a month after they shattered the record for valuation of a company. And since then, it's now a fraction of what it used to be. So I don't think he's you know, from a purely financial point of view, I don't think he's been successful. He's probably been the least successful CEO in history.
Really? That's harsh.
That is very harsh. Well,
I don't buy it.
Given the competition,
If you look at what Google and Apple have accomplished over the last few years, where they this huge company, and instead of peaking and then dying, they get huger and huger, right? They just keep – there's a juggernaut, and they've been able to reinvent themselves several times. Microsoft has conspicuously been unable to do that. They haven't reinvented themselves, and they've missed everything. And
nowadays, is that Ballmer's fault?
Well, he's the CEO.
Why isn't it his fault? Gates is still calling the shots. Let's be real. He's the chairman, and they talk
about. That's another
lot.
Problem that they have. Bill Gates ought to be thrown off the board,
There's a strong rumor that Bill will, in fact, be off. He's the chairman of the board of Microsoft. He'll be off the board when the new CEO comes in. They want to do a clean sweep and really give them all.
Yeah, good luck.
Give the new guy a chance. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to hire, to be honest.
His biggest mistake is protecting Ballmer. I think in a normal company, Ballmer wouldn't have survived.
He did protect Ballmer.
He did, absolutely.
It's pretty obvious, even reading between the lines of what Gates said when Ballmer announced his retirement, it's pretty obvious that every time the long knives came out for Ballmer, Steve said, no, he's my guy.
Right. Gates said. You said Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Gates.
I mean, Bill's brother. Think about it. If you're at Microsoft, if you're on the Microsoft
board. I'm doing
that
a lot lately.
Oh?
Yeah, Bob.
Huh.
Called you Bob. I don't know.
You're just harassed. You're
overworked.
Overworked.
Underpaid.
Well, I'm just overworked.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, if you're on the Microsoft board, you don't fire Bill Gates' college roommate.
Yeah. No, that's right. Happen.
I don't think they were roommates, were they? I think they were just down the hall.
You're right. They were poker buddies.
Close nearby.
Yeah.
But he bought a Quantiv, which they had to write down $6.2 billion.
That was a huge blunder.
5 years later.
Yep.
The Microsoft Kin.
The Kin was ridiculous.
They bought Danger to make the Kin.
I don't get the Kin. For one thing, they bring the thing out. I saw one finally. And I said, well, that's kind of cute. I can see kids liking this thing. It's pretty simple. It's not a big deal. And then they pulled it within weeks of
you know
pulling
why?
It out.
You had to buy a full-fledged data plan. Nobody's going to – the Kin's cute for kids, but nobody's going to pay an $80 a month or $90 a month data plan for Junior.
They could change that.
They should have changed that, but they didn't is the point.
Okay.
And so
they're
just
probably locked
it.
In on some contract.
I'm sure it had
deal.
To do with the stupid companies, cellular companies. I can't find
the five reasons that he's a good
I saw this before, and I don't know if...
Maybe
so Mary Jo wrote the article as a special to Fortune, but then she's got more coverage on her ZDNet blog. So let me go to allaboutmicrosoft.com. I don't know if others... I imagine others will also get this chance to talk to him. Here it is. Steve Ballmer's five management tips. You ready?
I'm ready. Leo, what's number one?
Number one. Make
developers,
sure,
developers.
Yeah. Make sure you see the whole playing field.
Was he talking about football? Is this some coaching?
You know how CEOs are. They really like to use football metaphors.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so
also plays the baseball. I think.
What he's saying is, you know, some CEOs are micromanagers, right? He's saying your job as CEO.
You mean like Bill Gates?
Was he a micromanager?
I think so. Yeah. So is Ballmer to some extent.
Well, Satya Nadella said, make sure if you come in with something to talk about Bill with, you better have the details. He's very detail-focused. That sounds like a little bit like a
the screen went blank.
Well, it's loading.
Wow. So number two.
It'll be there any second. Just make sure you look at the shoes. I don't know. Here it is.
Jeez.
I know. It's really slow. See the big picture. If the CEO doesn't see the playing field, nobody else can. The team may need to see it too. Why with the football analogies? Why?
It's ludicrous.
10 years from now, will devices look the same as they look today or quite different? He apparently didn't know the answer to that. He asked
the question.
I guess
not, no.
Talent, this is number two.
Number two.
Talent is only one. This is all crap. One part of success.
That's his tip.
That's the tip.
What kind of a tip is that? It's not even a tip. It's an aphorism.
I thought talent was two parts of success.
It's kind of a... It's
incredible.
Yeah.
What an insight.
Could be one, could be two.
Okay, let's go to three. Skip that.
Reevaluate.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Developers.
I think he just made this stuff up. She just, you know... let me think. Number four, bet for the short term and the long term.
Wow.
Sometimes people think you should bet on one or the other, but you could and should bet on both.
I got to write that one down.
He should reevaluate that one. I really think that would
reevaluate.
Three times.
All right, what's the last one?
Know your limits.
Something I've never heard before.
He says, he's
really come out of off the wall with this stuff.
He said, understand the business stuff better than the technology stuff. That's kind of an admission.
Yeah.
Bill was a technologist.
As far as I know, Ballmer doesn't even know how to use a computer.
What?
Well, I've just said, I've never seen him use one.
I mean, isn't Microsoft his second job?
What's his first job?
Procter & Gamble. I think it was a Procter & Gamble.
He was a marketing guy.
Oh, his second job ever. Yeah. Well, the office that he met Mary Jo in, which is supposedly his office, has no desk, no computer.
There you have
it. Just a bunch of sofas.
There you have it. I'm just saying, I haven't seen him use a computer. I don't know that he doesn't know how to use one.
He says, but I've grown, and when you grow, you say, wow, I didn't know what I didn't know.
That should be number six.
Unbelievable. We sold 191 now.
He's got this thing on a speed dial thing. He clicks over to this page. He wants to see how many. Whee for Leo.
Leo bobblehead doll. Now, Leo. There's only 59 more. Last chance. Teespring.com/twit.
These will be sold before the end of the show, and now there'll be people will be irked. The people that listen to the podcast as a podcast by download are going to be irked. As hell.
We broke the mold.
Got to watch live, man. Got to watch live.
We broke the mold. Yeah. Let's talk about Instagram, the new Instagram messaging. We'll talk about why Nokia is making an Android phone and why Twitter changed how blocking works. It's all coming up in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Audible.com. If you're an audiobook lover like I am, you know Audible.com. It really is. I don't think there's any competition anymore. It is the audio book store, 150,000 Audible books online. Classics like The Wizard of Oz, read by Anne Hathaway. Our friend Leanne Erkani's Johnny Ive, the genius behind the man who made the iPod and the
That is a
iMac.
Great book, by the way.
Have you read it?
I have.
You know, he tried and tried to get Johnny to talk. He got his friends to, but he couldn't get Johnny.
Not just his friends. He went back to his old, his old design school professors and
Leeds,
all kinds of people.
Of all places, yeah.
It's just a really good, solid book with tons of detail. And, you think you know absolutely everything about Apple, and this book is completely packed with
juicy
insights. Yeah.
I have to say, that's one category I read a lot of on Audible is the inside stories on technology. Yeah. I've got Nick Bilton's Hatching Twitter, which is really juicy. Fred Vogelstein's a new book, Dogfight, about the war between Apple and Google.
Yep.
These are all on Audible. Yeah. But sometimes, you got to take a break. You want a little relaxation. Maybe you want to listen to a little fiction. The new John Grisham. Is that what you're listening to, Lisa? Sycamore Row? I think so. You got the new John Grisham. Wow, that's good. I like that. And it's read in kind of this Southern style. The thing I love about Audible is the readers. They get the best actors who bring these books to life. It's like a movie in your mind. Michael Beck.
Hanging oneself from a tree are not that simple. Evidently, Seth thought of everything. The rope was three-quarter-inch braided natural.
People
vanilla.
Will perhaps of think when you listen to an audiobook, it's somehow hard to follow. You'll be amazed. That's why I want you to get a book right now free, because you'll be amazed. It really draws you in, and pretty soon you don't even know you're listening to a book. You just feel like you're in this great world. And the reason this is so good is because it transforms your long commute, those hours spent on the treadmill at the gym, walking the dog, washing the dishes. I love Audible.com. We've arranged a two-book trial for you. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That means two books a month, but your first month's free. Your first two books are free, and you can cancel any time, and at least in the first 30 days, pay nothing, but you're going to keep those books. I suspect you won't cancel. There's so many. Science fiction is great here. History. I've read all of the Robert Caro books about Lyndon Johnson. It's a whole series called The Years of Lyndon Johnson. I say read, but really I've listened to them on audible.com. The Path to Power, The Means of Ascent, Master of the Senate. These are books about the brilliant books about how to gain and wield political power. There was no greater master than Lyndon Johnson. I just love this stuff. Biography, history. Get those two books free, audible.com/twit2. You'll also get the free subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times Daily Audio, so you can listen to that. This is a really great deal. And kids' books, too, and young adult books. This is a great way to get your kids into books by listening together. A Dog Named Christmas. Aww. By Greg Kincaid. Audible.com/twit2. We thank them for their support. If you missed any of Twit this week, you missed quite a bit. Let's take a look.
Previously on Twit, Windows Weekly.
You got a massive scoop this week. This may be the last interview Steve Ballmer ever gives, and you've got it.
When I talked to him, I felt like he's at peace now with the decision to move forward.
Tech News Today.
The Verge's Tom Warren reports that Normandy would run a forked version of Android. Will it be released since Microsoft will take control of Nokia's handset operations? I'd wager against that.
Triangulation.
Did he not inspire you to start Reddit, right?
Yeah, no, we had My Mobile Menu. It was, what's the short name for it?
That was pizza by fact.
i5 for the iPhone.
Against my better judgment, I installed an app called Hatch, and now I have a little Fugu to take care of, and he's a little animal that needs me. Hi, little friend.
Twit. And now John Dvorak will say that he doesn't like something.
Did you like that, John?
I don't know what it was I was looking at. It looked it looked gross.
Tom Merritt is here with a look at the week ahead. Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at the week ahead and some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on Tech News Today. Not too much happening as we get close to the holidays. Wednesday, December 18th, Oracle has their earnings report. Friday, December 20th, goodbye to WinApp. That's the official day it's discontinued. Also on the 20th, what? Merry Christmas. It's BlackBerry earnings time. Oh, and looking down the road, don't forget, CES kicks off on January 7th. That's a look at the weeks ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to have Father Robert Ballister, the Gizwiz Dick DiBartolo will be at CES. Who else? I'll be at New Media Expo. We'll be keynoting on Monday. Chad's going to go to CES. We have a few people. No? Karsten. Karsten's going to CES. So we will have CES coverage also on this network. But we're not doing the big booth this year.
You haven't done the big booth for a while.
2 years.
Yeah.
It was expensive. You know who's doing the big booth this year?
Who?
Callie Lewis with GeekBeat and iMore.com. Renee Ritchie will be there. So there, it's like four or five tech blogs are uniting to
for
take over
a giant big booth.
The South Hall big booth.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah, that's great.
I feel like CES is not.
I'm not going.
You always say that.
I generally don't go.
Yeah.
I did go once in a while. I get suckered once in a while to going, but I generally don't like going. It's a stupid show.
There's not.
It's overcovered. There's four journalists for every booth.
That's the real problem. It's really way overcovered. Yep. So I don't think we need to go. What we're going to do, we've decided, is there's got to be a cutoff. There's like a certain number of products that are worth covering, 10, 20, 30, 50. It's fewer than 100. So we're just going to pick the top, whatever, 50 things that you want to see, and maybe 10. That you want. It'll be TVs, of course, but there's so many Apple accessories. Who cares what iPhone, iPad covers and stuff? So we're going to pick the top, whatever, X number of products and just show you those and say, that's it. Nothing else mattered. That's anything below this line. Who cares? Doesn't that make sense?
I think that's arrogant.
Well, like, because I'm setting myself up as the arbiter of what's good and what's not.
Yeah. There's probably some poor little guy that if you would just give him some attention, it would put him over the top. He'd be successful. His wife would love him. The whole thing would go well. But you decided to only go with
heads.
Samsung products.
But that's the problem. Yeah.
No, they don't. Well, that's the irony. There's the thousands of these tech journalists, and they all go to the same two booths. It's ridiculous.
You know, it was funny. I used as an example last year the Happy Fork, which was that vibrating fork, the haptic feedback fork. Because
the
fork. Yeah, because it was that right inside the door at CES Unveiled, which was the first event on Sunday, and there wasn't much else good there. They got massive coverage on ABC, NBC, CBS, USA Today, every tech blog. We gave him 10 minutes on a vibrating fork. You're right. It's arbitrary. It's stupid. I agree. But what else are we going to do?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no help for you because I'm not going.
You're
I don't
not
care.
Going at all. Talk about arrogant.
Yep. Totally.
Let's talk about this weird rumor that Nokia. Now, it wasn't to be surprising that before the acquisition, Nokia at least threatened to make an Android phone. In fact, I wish they would. I think if we could get the Lumia 1020 or the 1520 on Android, I'd hop on it. Great hardware. It's not that there's anything wrong with Windows Phone. It's just that I want to use Android.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, first of all, it has to be said that this is another anonymous sources kind of thing.
Yeah, there's
and
a
when
lot
it
of
comes
this.
To upcoming products, everyone needs to understand that it's often very difficult for anonymous sources to know the difference between something that's a little pet project that's going right. nowhere and something that's the future of the company.
Now, this is something that The Verge reported, but Ina Fried, who's got very good sources, confirmed it from her sources. It gives it some credence.
It exists. There's no. I don't doubt that Normandy, which is the code name for this project, exists. The question is, is it just a hedge of you know? Or whatever. So, having said that, it's an interesting project. I personally think Microsoft would be very wise to allow an Android phone built by the
why not?
Nokia
they make yeah, five bucks an Android
exactly,
handset.
Exactly. And they should be making Microsoft products that support Android. I mean, they did it for Apple for years and years. I mean, why not?
Microsoft's in an unusual position. We're going to get back to the Microsoft conversation because. People are roundly critical of Windows 8. In fact, Mary Jo and Paul have both confirmed the next version of Windows, which is codenamed Threshold, will bring back the start menu.
Yeah.
That, in effect, Microsoft's
the
saying...
The real start menu the actual, fake
not
start
the button,
menu that they
the
have now.
Real... So they tried it with Windows 8.1. They brought the start button, which was a
yeah,
fake...
Yeah, it's just a button. Doesn't do anything.
Button.
Yeah.
So apparently, and many sources are confirming this, and it may happen sooner than the next edition of Windows. They might even do it in an update soon. They're going to put the menu back.
You mean the menu you get when you use the...
When you use Windows 7.
No, when you use Classic Shell on Windows 8,
or,
you get the menu
start
back.
8, yeah.
It's a
and
great
apparently,
product.
And apparently, I think this is a response to business customers who are saying, we're not going to retrain our employees so you can go into the future with your tablet interface. Right. We need a start menu.
Right. Your phone interface.
It's something that... Which is a phone interface, right.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, everybody's grappling with this. And if you look at OS X, they've been sneaking... tablet-like and phone-like multi-touch type things.
But much more judiciously.
It's off the corner.
I don't
the
have to use
and so
it.
On.
Yeah.
They're also sort of pushing the hardware end of it. They've had these touch pads that sort of are like tablet-like.
Who, Apple?
Apple. You know, they have the little what do they call it?
The trackpad here.
Trackpad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
so the gesture, they actually reversed one of the gestures to make it more phone-like so that when you scroll up, it goes up and all that kind of stuff.
I hate that.
Yeah, they're trying to, everybody is trying to bring the world from the WIMP user interface, Windows icons, menus, and pointing devices, to the post-PC touch, multi-touch interface. And it's very, very difficult to do because everybody's sort of brains have been programmed. People over the age of 30, our brains have been programmed to use WIMP, you know, mice and all that kind of stuff. And so how do you make that transition without going out of business?
Right.
This is what Microsoft is struggling with. And they did a half-hearted effort with the whole Metro UI.
Why make the transition? Who cares? Who wanted this?
Do you think
well, that's
that,
a good question.
Do you think that 12-year-olds who have used nothing but iPads and iPhones will ever use a mouse? They will never, ever use a mouse, and it'll seem like a clunky Victorian contraption to them. We are going to a world that's going to be full screen. Desktop computers will be touch, I can assure you. Touch, voice, combination of user inputs, and everybody knows it. Microsoft knows it. Apple knows it.
Nobody knows it. This
everybody
is bull
knows.
Crap.
Absolutely, no, there's no question about it that we're going in that direction. And
we're going in that direction, but... I don't
but not because it, somebody wanted
not,
it.
I'm not. Do you like it? You're always on top
yeah,
of the.
Yeah.
the so you're
He's
like
using a tablet.
You're using a tablet. You went to tablets immediately, but I have a big screen, a big 27-inch screen. I got two of them.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this full screen app showing up. It's like it scares you when it comes.
Well, the interfaces are
letters are this big.
Well, I mean that's a flaw. I mean, it sounds like you work for Fox News. This is a flaw.
Why does it sound like I'm working?
Because Fox News has the big ass,
Smith
yeah,
these big,
oh, big monitors,
yeah, yeah.
And, big monitors,
yeah, and the icons are the size of a paperback book or something like that. I mean, they're enormous, and that's just awful.
Aren't we in a post PC world, John?
No, I think we're in a stabilized world that they predicted before 1990, before 1995 when Windows 95 came out. I think we're in that replacement era. Everybody's got a PC. And there is no post-PC era.
Because nobody wants it. But everybody's got it.
I've got a machine that's been running like a champ for the last 7 years because, again, Moore's Law, as we mentioned earlier, doesn't really apply to software. So we got all this old crap. I mean, Microsoft Word, what have they done in the last decade except it's spell checker? I mean, it's ridiculous. It could do all kinds of things where it could write for you. It could really do some grammar work instead of the crazy, it's a passive sentence. Change this word.
Really terrible. Mm-hmm.
It's just ludicrous. Yeah.
But with the ribbon bar,
don't get me started.
18-year-old and 21-year-old use computers, they use laptops, no interest in iPads. None.
Yeah.
So that generation, maybe they missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, our generation seems to be taken to iPads.
Right.
Young kids, 2-year-old, 5-year-olds, little kids love iPads, right?
But it's not
Are they going to grow up and want desktops? Are they going to even
Are they going to grow up to grown-up machines? You mean like a desktop?
Yeah,
of course. They're going to have to. You can't do a lot of things that you can do efficiently. And there's not enough hours in the day to dick around, pointing and squeezing.
Here's Shepard Smith's big-ass tablets.
Yeah.
Oh, those things. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It's not about grown-ups and children as much as it is about if you look at the whole history of computer user interfaces, it's all about machines evolving to become more sophisticated and powerful so that the user does less work and interacts with this thing like it does the real world. Computer interfaces are never going to stop evolving until it's just like the real world. Until the piece of paper is a piece of paper on screen. You have objects that you're moving around.
But we're a long way from that.
We're not that far away.
I mean, if you look at that, you can drop all this crap and go back to a piece of paper. Well, it works fine.
It's not just paper. The big user interface of the near future that's already coming online is voice.
If you look at
voice command, how far it's come in the last few years and how ubiquitous it's become.
Listen to this. This is a new robot telemarketer, Time Magazine. Zeke Miller and Denver Nix.
Is it named Rachel?
Well, maybe you've even gotten these robocalls because they sound like a human. Her name is Samantha West. Listen to this recording from Time Reporters. They're calling her back.
Ah. Hello, how are you today?
Well, I don't hear a thing.
Can you turn up the studio mic or speakers?
Good. Well, I'm calling about an online request you once made about health insurance coverage. We work with all major companies and compare all the rates for you. I can get you a quote in about 5 minutes, okay?
Are you a robot?
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, but you sound like a robot.
I understand.
Ah! Right away.
Can we continue?
Sure.
Are you currently on Medicare?
No. Why are the questions so personal?
We received your online application for health insurance.
So this is pretty smart, though.
This is really good. Outstanding.
Coverage, we can give you a free quote.
Why should I give my information to you?
There's a delay there.
The delay is too long.
I understand, but we do work with all carriers, and I can get you a low rate. Getting a quote will only take a minute, okay?
Who produced
this? You really do sound like a robot.
Well, it's outstanding to me. Somebody's criticizing.
I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad
Why is it lying to us?
I know. It's awful.
It's lying.
It's not only lying. Sure?
If it's lying, then obviously whatever deal they're going to give you is going to be a scam.
It's not only lying. It's nasty about it. She's like, I am a real person. And I was like,
you crazy?
Yeah, she's having an attitude. They programmed an attitude into this thing.
Okay.
Work with all major companies and compare.
Hey, are you a robot?
What? No,
you
I am
idiot.
A real person.
What?
We have a bad connection. I'm sorry
about
that.
It's the most ridiculous thing she's
crazy.
Ever heard.
So you just sound so much like a robot.
I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Will you tell me you're not a robot? Just say I'm not a robot, please.
I am a real person.
I mean, I believe you, but will you just say
sad.
I'm not a robot? It'll make me feel better to hear you say it.
I love the laugh.
There is a live person here.
But I know there is. It would just make me feel so much better to hear you say, I am not a robot.
What?
If you could say the words, I'm not a robot, it would really mean a lot to me.
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I just
it goes
hear
on
you
much the same. He never gets her to say I'm
of course
not,
not
a robot,
because it's not programmed in. Yeah.
But next time, maybe they'll have that.
Well, that's one of the things you do. You test these things and you see what kind of ridicule you face. But the real point to me is they are lying to the public when they say I'm a real person. Right. That means this is a disreputable company.
There you go.
Because they're lying to you straight up.
She should say, yes, I'm a robot. Now, would you like to buy some insurance?
It's
that would be better.
Yeah. It's worse than just lying. It's premeditated lying. They programmed lying into the system
yes,
on purpose. They had a whole meeting about it and said, yeah.
What if they say, are you a robot? What are we going to say? Yeah.
Hmm. We're going to lie.
Have the lady record.
These things, but clearly this kind of stuff is going to get really good, and that's itself is going to become a problem. And I think I'm predicting that within a few years, they're going to have to make them deliberately bad, because sales like things like this, they're trolling for suckers. They're trolling for people who are gullible.
Right.
That's the target market.
Sound like an old drunk is what they should do.
Yes.
Hey, what do you want?
Hey.
I'm not a robot. What are you talking about?
That would work, you know, because you get belligerent, then people are going to back down.
Yeah, it could work.
She should get belligerent.
Yeah.
Well, what are you calling me a robot?
What they could do if they really wanted to be creepy is they could mine your social networking activity and tell you things personally about what you're doing. Oh,
I'm sure they're doing that.
I'm in the house. Yeah,
did you see a study came out written by a Facebook researcher talking about stuff you started writing on Facebook but canceled.
Yes, yeah.
Apparently, Facebook is not only keeping track of everything you post on Facebook, but everything you write but decide not to post on
Facebook.
And they
want to know why you didn't post it. Like, they're now like at that level where they're like, oh, gosh, why didn't they post these
things? I'm telling you, these things are nasty. I would stay off Facebook. I would give up my account immediately, like you have done. Oh, that's right.
I went back because it's my job. If I were a normal person, if I were not a tech journalist, I would not be on Facebook.
Yeah.
And increasingly, I find Facebook extremely annoying because they're manipulating the feed. Mm-hmm. The newest thing Facebook is doing, and this happened after the Twitter IPO, I think Facebook said, we want to start being a news source. I think Mark Zuckerberg's personality is looking over at the other guy saying, no, I want to do that. Because everything that's happened with Facebook is him saying, no, I want to be more like Twitter. Yeah. No, I want to be more like Google. It's almost as if they can't figure out what to do on their own. So their newest thing is, let's make the feed more newsworthy. So in the news feed is not stuff. Yeah. It's not everything your friends post.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
It's stuff your friends post that the algorithm deems newsworthy, and the rest is just tossed.
They have a confusing strategy. I mean, Google's approach is to really try really hard to understand everything about you and serve up a combination of a very custom stream of news and also a thing that is supposed to be like the best stuff. Facebook seems to be going at this in a very generic kind of way. They don't seem to have the mastery over their algorithms that Google does. And so they're trying to say, okay, We want to tamper down the frivolous BuzzFeed type stuff and turn up like the important stories, and I'm not sure that that's what Facebook people really want to do.
We want to see our friends and family are up
exactly,
to.
Exactly. If you look at what's actually shared on Facebook, it's a lot of fun stuff. People want to, you know, on Facebook, people don't want to have big, you know, important things. They want fun and sort of relax a little bit. It's kind
actually
of
when we talked about this, it must have been you on This Week in Google. I can't remember what we were talking about. Upworthy, and you said that they want to see less of this and not more of this.
I think it's similar to sort of Bezos buying the Washington Post. These are technology companies that are just doing these things, and they want to be more important. They want to be a social force for good. Google's doing the same thing, actually. They have these so-called long-form journalist places. They're trying to bolster the things. I think they, to a certain extent, feel guilty about the trivialization of culture. And it's getting out of hand. And
they don't feel guilty about anything.
They are the creators of the trivialization of culture.
Yeah,
they feel guilty that they did that?
Well, I think that they have pretensions of being a force for good. And so if you look at all the things Zuckerberg has been doing, he's got the lobbying effort and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So Mark Zuckerberg this is a guy who only kills his own, you know, he only eats stuff he kills and all this kind of stuff.
He's still doing that.
He ate a guy the other day.
Yeah.
Shot the guy and ate him. Yeah.
He did kill him.
Okay, is this close your eyes, John. This is I'm going to give you a Upworthy headline. And then a headline generated by the Upworthy generator. And you have to tell me which is which.
Okay.
The way this poet talks about manhood has me questioning exactly what it is, or that moment when an actor won't retreat.
Wow, they both suck.
How about this one? I thought it was a menace to equality, but then I saw this troubling vlog.
That's got to be machine created.
It's machine created. And what's funny is that the Upworthy Generator, which is upworthygenerator.com, always has a tearful woman as the video, as the video thumbnail. Watch a forgotten LGBT activist become an inspiration with one question. Who wouldn't Facebook this, right? Although, I have to say, these are also, these are equally, you know, Facebook worthy. That's what really gets me. And, of course, a big share on Facebook button at top and bottom. I see. I used to see a lot of these in my feed, but ever since we talked about this, I do find that you're right. Facebook seems to be filtering these out now.
Facebook tries to get into the real news business. You won't believe what happened next.
I don't want it. And I also don't want the suggested post.
Yeah.
Every second post
that
in
is
my Facebook
so...
feed. I don't go here anymore.
Yeah, you know, this a suggested post is an ad. That,
we're close.
You went right back to that page again. You couldn't keep a conversation going about something like this and you
Facebook.
Had to go back. My God, look how many of these bobbleheads people are buying.
Wait a minute. Did we buy an ad? Limited time offer.
No, that's one of those phony deals where you – that's this is the stupidest thing. This is the repeat ads that everyone's buying into.
Wait a minute.
Because you've looked at this page. It shows up everywhere now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not a real ad.
No. It's your – this shows that you're interested in this, and so we're going to hound you on every page you go to with pictures of this thing that you're looking at, but you're selling it. They don't even know.
Never do what I did. I bought some I was looking for some underwear online.
That would be a mistake based on this.
And for a month, I had nothing but, like, dudes wearing underwear, like, all over the place. Do not do what I did.
You know, I did the same thing, only I bought Depends, and it's amazing. Instagram.
Hey-o.
Instagram off Facebook property, and Facebook bought them because they were so scared that everybody was going to Instagram. And immediately they started to turn it into something horrible. They added video, by the way, autoplay video. Both Facebook and Instagram do the one thing that everybody agrees you should not do on the web, which is autoplay video.
They should shoot people who do that.
Yeah. And they do it because they want you to get used to it so they can start running ads.
Where'd you get that shirt?
You like this? I noticed you admiring my shirt. How do you like that?
Very festive.
So it's Santa and a rocket, and then it goes around the back, and then the reindeer.
And there's a hula girl on an island.
Yeah, well, it's a Hawaiian shirt. You can't have a Hawaiian shirt without a hula girl and surfboard.
It's involved.
So now Instagram, so they added that. Now Instagram has added Instagram Direct. And already I saw somebody in my feed who didn't realize that when he posted a picture hitting on a girl, and then did it to another girl. Every single person he sent that picture to could see who else he sent the picture to.
Yeah, I posted that. That's where you saw it.
So it's horrible. A line along the bottom of all the girls he macked on.
Right.
And then the final one says, dude, you know we can all see this.
The Instagram
That's
community
terrible.
Is not used to this whole process.
They don't understand it.
Yeah.
How long before a husband gets caught doing this, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's probably already happened.
It's probably already happened. Apparently, according to Instagram, half of all the people who use Instagram use it every single day. That's 75.5 million. That's a lot of people.
Yep. But I think this whole Instagram Direct thing is a reaction to a certain extent to Twitter essentially getting into the Instagram business. Now the pictures are just showing up in the feed and
and
Twitter's really pushing the sharing of pictures above all.
You do realize I can see how many other girls you've sent this picture. By the way, show the picture because he's a sensitive guy.
Yeah, right.
Can you get the whole picture? I guess you can. Yeah. Mike, that was from your feed. So,
I think that it's actually they're saying that it's a Snapchat clone, which is I think a terrible. It's simply not true.
And not the first attempt because they rewrote Poke to be a Snapchat clone.
Exactly. It does not self-destruct. The messages don't self-destruct, and that's the whole point of Snapchat.
They don't understand it.
Ephemeral or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it is a lot like Google Plus, Pinterest, and Path. It's like Path in the sense that you can only send it to 15 people. Path you can send to 150 people. But the point is that it's absolutely limited in the number of people who are going to see this thing. And it's private.
So your wife and all your girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so...
The risk is that it's going to make Instagram... So, it's just more and more crap on top of it. And I think that the reason that Twitter succeeded, or Instagram succeeded, it was simple. It did one thing. It did it well.
Right. They both started as just you post something and it's public. And anybody who wants to see it can follow you. And anybody who gets it can share it. And that was a simple model that
everybody understood.
Now I think that there's a desire. What's happening is that the kids, teenagers and young people, they don't want to be famous. They don't want to be public. They want private little circles. And so everybody's worried about the future of social networks. And they see these people going off. That's one of the reasons that a lot of you have all these tiny little social networks popping up, and Tumblr too. This is where the young people are going so that their parents won't find them, essentially.
Is what Facebook learned. Because that's how Facebook started, right? It was private. It's hard to monetize. Ultimately, Facebook wants to go get your stuff public.
Right. That's right.
And isn't that going to be the same problem with all these other sites?
Exactly.
How do you monetize Snapchat?
Exactly. It's very difficult to do. The whole public model is a great model because you get, get people
Twitter's
building
model.
Huge audiences.
Right.
So
you're saying that this is a response to Twitter?
I think it is, because Twitter got it. It's the Chicago way, Leo. Twitter started getting, acting like Instagram, and Instagram is now, part of Facebook, of course. So this is a Facebook versus Twitter conflict
really
for the future of social networking. And they're all going after the teens and the 20 somethings who really just, they really need to send to tiny little groups privately.
But we're on the topic. Let's talk about the blocking thing that you wanted to bring
up. Yeah, Twitter changed the rules of blocking.
My approach to Twitter is I block people left and right.
Me too.
I don't go on Twitter to get into arguments, debates, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or listen to bull crap. I go there for a number of specific purposes. And if somebody wants to, if they look at me cross-eyed, they're blocked. I don't care.
Because in the past that meant
this.
They couldn't read your stuff. You wouldn't see their stuff, but they couldn't see your stuff.
Right.
Unless they logged out.
Well, you can log. I think you could always log into somebody's specific account as an anonymous / your name.
Exactly.
But that's you have to go out of your way to do that.
The problem is that Twitter, the conversations are kind of distributed on Twitter. It's a structural issue. So if I post something and somebody sees it and they want to give me a hard time, they can do that. And the blocking feature just has me with my head in the sand and my fingers in my ears.
In other words, they're talking about you, but you don't know.
Exactly. If you look at
I don't care either.
If you look at something like Google Plus, where if I block somebody on Google Plus, they can't comment on the conversations on Google Plus are happening on my stream. They're not happening out there.
But that's the difference between Google Plus and Twitter.
That's
you own your stream on Twitter. There is no you don't have a
that's right.
stream per se.
So for people who are super sensitive about being harassed or being publicly humiliated or being abused or whatever, Twitter is probably not a good choice.
In public.
Yeah, you are in public, and you can either close it to everybody except for those to whom you give explicit permission. That does exist, and that does work to a certain extent.
And isn't that what Twitter's trying to eliminate? This is that same thing of making everybody be public because it's easier to monetize.
Yeah.
They don't want people to have private Twitter accounts, right?
I would imagine not. I would imagine
that would
not,
be the way to get rid of harassers, though. Just go private.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of blocking. Blocking is the greatest thing ever because people can hijack conversations. People can, and it's really people feel weird about blocking people, right? Because you think, well, I shouldn't do that. It's really not nice. It has to be an extreme case.
I do it because it's not nice.
But allowing
it's my
somebody
way of flipping somebody off, but, and I bet for you too.
But allowing somebody to wreck conversations is not nice to the other people in the conversation.
Right.
So you really have to, it's like the old Star Trek thing. You really want to benefit the larger group rather than the individual person.
So they did the right thing.
I think they did do the right thing. They basically went from, the new policy, which they now canceled, simply made it super convenient for people to harass other people. It threw the balance of power over to the harassers. And now they're back to the original policy, which makes it somewhat inconvenient to harass somebody. It's still not a perfect system, but it's better than the one that they temporarily had.
I think that really has to do with the fact that people don't understand to this day that Twitter is a public place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only way for it not to be is for you to have a private account.
Right.
And I think it's peculiar that someone would not get that.
I don't think people really understand. I tell people all the time. I talk to people who don't understand how
they're
use,
following.
How to use the
you're
reply
some and, famous person, let's say a football player or a coach, and you got
Well, they understand it's public.
They say some weird stuff for people who think
that's
it's public.
True.
Or no, it's public. I'm
but
sorry.
But what happens is somebody will start a Twitter account and they have 20 people following them, and they'll post things and they have the same conversations with the same tiny group of people. And then all of a sudden somebody retweets it. And then somebody else retweets it. Next thing you know, they have a million things, and then they're on CNN or whatever. And it's like they realize, oh, my God.
It's very public.
Yeah, it's very public. So it's potentially public. Most people have privacy through anonymity until they don't.
Pizza Box in our chat room says, well, you got to understand, advertisers are really indistinguishable from harassers, and we're going to make it easier for advertisers. Right. I guess there's some collateral.
That's true,
damage.
Actually. That's a good observation.
True, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice one, Pizza Box.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. If you're at the post office this week, you know it's going to be a zoo. Everybody who normally doesn't go to the post office, mailing packages, buying stamps. And if you do mailing for a living, it's very important that you have a way to get the job done without getting over to the post office and fighting for parking and fighting for a place in line. That's why I want you to get a Stamps.com account, especially right now. If you sell on Amazon or eBay or Etsy or PayPal, if you do mailers, if you send invoices out, it's the easiest way to do it. Stamps.com lets you buy and print official U.S. postage without leaving your desk. From your computer, with your printer, you can print the postage. You can print stamps. You can print them right on sticky labels. I actually come in here and get stamps printed whenever I need stamps. But you can also print right on the envelope. If you got QuickBooks or you got an address book at work, it'll take all the addresses. It's kind of like mail merge right out of the
You're taking
book,
the company's resource. You're using company,
it's my company
stamps.
I can do that. That's the beauty of this. I already bought them.
It's okay.
Right? Why would that be illegal?
You steal pens? I didn't say it was illegal.
You can't steal pens from yourself.
Huh.
Can you?
I don't know.
Let me ask Lisa. Can I steal pens from the company? No.
She says no. You can't steal pens from the company. She's the bookkeeper.
I'm stealing them from Lisa. That's who I'm stealing them from. All right. All right. I won't take stamps anymore. I'll get my own stamps.com.
I was wondering.
No, it's a good point. No, you're keeping me honest. You've always done that since we first met in 1990.
1988.
Is that when we first met?
Something like
probably
that.
Probably is, actually, yeah.
And you can't use the scale for cooking. You have to leave it at the office.
Now, wait a minute. That's going too far. You get the great USB scale. You plop your letter, your postage right on there, your box. It'll print right on the envelope. It'll print a mailing label. Put your corporate logo on there. And then the mail carrier comes and takes it. Doesn't matter what size it is. They will pick it up. There's even a button on stamps.com that says, hey, mailman, come to me. This is so much better than a postage meter. First of all, it's a lot more affordable. You also get discounts that you won't get at the post office on Priority Mail, Priority Express Mail. All right, so here's the deal. Go to stamps.com. Stop messing around. Just go there and click that microphone in the upper right-hand corner, Chad, and type in TWIT. That's the offer code. And you're going to get a $110 no-risk trial of stamps.com. Of course, you get a month of stamps.com free, but you also get the scale. You just pay shipping and handling.
Now's the time to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Just before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, this is the last time you want to go to the post office. You also get $55 in postage coupons you can use over the next few months. It really is a good deal. Stamps.com. Many of our listeners have started to use stamps.com, and they all report back that they are very happy not going to the post office anymore. Unless you got a crush on that cute postal worker, that's different.
Where's this?
The cute. You told me, and I did not know this, that every post office is like a franchise.
Yeah, pretty much.
There can be good ones and bad ones.
Yeah, the postmaster determines whether it's going to be good or bad, how they manage it. Yeah, it's true. And you notice it when you go from one to another. Some of them are horrible. They don't like to do anything, or there's long lines. The
you
other
can
ones
take down
are,
the stamps lower third. This is not part of the commercial.
And some of them are gotten the ball. It's like, holy mackerel, this is a great post office.
That's so interesting.
Have you
think
it
would be like
this?
A national standard. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not the way they all – they're organized in a funny kind of distributed network way. Yeah.
This guy knows more about the postal service. Actually, you know
that's
more about a lot of
things.
That's
because the post office is being ripped off by the government that's making them pay 75 years in advance to screw them. I mean, they're actually making money. They're trying to screw the unions. I mean, the whole post is, oh, the post office is terrible. The post office is going out of business is nonsense.
The post office is great.
They want to kill the post office so everybody has to go through Federal Express and UPS, pay twice as much, 10 times as much. And then also, by the way, the laws about postal fraud and all the rest of it are out the window. And now they can open your mail and who cares?
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a very
good
point.
It's a pretty secure system.
They do take pictures of the outside, but that's okay.
Yeah, but so what?
So what?
The thing about the post office that's great is that they're one of the few aspects in our society where they are obligated to serve everybody.
Right.
And this is, and we already talked about Amazon, and so I don't mean to bring that back up again, but I think that Amazon's long-term strategy is to cut FedEx and UPS out of the business, do all the sweet spot deliveries themselves for the really high volume deliveries, and then let the post office do all the people out.
Didn't they make a deal with the post office for Sunday delivery?
Sunday delivery.
We got a delivery the other day on Sunday.
Incredible. And it was a postal worker.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? And that's wild. Amazon.
Yeah, it's I think
so. That's already happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we got a Sunday the other day.
But does it... okay, I'm confused.
It's crazy.
Because even the mail... The Postal Service doesn't do Sunday delivery.
No, they never
have.
So
they have excess capacities lying around and so...
I don't know how they're doing it. Whatever the case is, all I know is the Saturday thing wasn't killed like everyone wanted to do because of the rural guys moaning and groaning in
rightly
front of Congress.
So, yes.
Saying we're going to kill
it's
our little neighborhood.
In the Constitution.
Yeah.
And so now the Sunday thing is like, it's like going in the opposite.
And they'll make more money.
Let's hope so.
I hope so, too. Now, if you want mail, don't use Amazon. I mean, Yahoo. Because apparently now the Yahoo mail outage, which everybody was... Boy, there was a furor over that this week. It's only 1%.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
We don't know.
We will never know. Marissa Meyer said it was... this has become the stock excuse anytime a service goes down. Misconfigured server.
Yep. They sent to all their users complete details of everything, but of course nobody got those emails. So it's still a mystery.
No, actually, though, if you didn't get mail, it is queued up. You're not going to lose mail, right?
That's right.
You'll just get it late.
I hope so.
For many of us, read Marissa Meyer's apology. She uses a Tumblr for her blog.
Yeah.
Even before they bought Tumblr, she used it. She likes it. Is a lifeline to our friends, family members, and customers. This week, we experienced a major outage that not only interrupted that connection, but caused many of you a massive inconvenience. I saw articles on all the tech blogs, how to move your mail off Yahoo Mail, how to start using Google Mail instead of Yahoo Mail. A lot of people were upset. But I guess if you have hundreds of millions of users, 1% is not, that's a lot of people. You're going to hear about it. Marissa Meyer noted that a confusing scheduled maintenance error, some users The error message, was confusing. It said we're under scheduled maintenance, which was wrong.
Yeah. More lies.
But where really, and I've heard from a lot of people, has hit people, is small businesses that use Yahoo Business. A lot of them are very upset. This is a big time for them, and a lot of them lost business. A lot of Yahoo Business sites were down. It really was a bigger mess, I think, than they're copping to. On Wednesday, we interviewed the executive director of the Webbies.
Shane?
No, Tiffany's not there anymore.
Oh, what'd she do?
She's doing a documentary or something like that. She's
gone. She's gone Hollywood.
Yeah. But it was fun because I went back to the year 2000 Webby Awards?
The year 2000.
In the year 2000. Actually, it was 1999. And I think it was 99. And the Webbies it was for technical achievement in 19, what was it? Because was it 99?
Well, whatever. Get to the point.
I want to show this video.
Oh.
Because it was, Google won it. Remember in the early part days of Google, you were at Tech TV asking people, what's the search engine you use?
I was, because people were still using Yahoo.
You knew they were bozos.
Well, it was kind of just, I never said that.
But that was implied.
It was implied.
Or if they said Alta Vista.
Yeah.
Well, no, Alta Vista at least is acceptable to Yahoo. Back then when Google was
Yahoo
just
was
killing
like, it's
everybody.
A bad idea.
Well, at the time.
Well, I want you to tell me, because...
Schlein used to be on our show all the time.
I love Tiffany Schlein.
Yeah, she's a character.
She was great. Her dad wrote amazing books.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you know her dad?
No.
Leonard Schlein?
No.
He was a Marin doctor. He wrote some really interesting stuff. Look him up.
Uh-oh.
All right. I want to find this video. We had the guy on and I played it and I just don't know.
Somebody typed in, it looks like, Ask Jeeves.
Some of this stuff is Ask Jeeves. There you go.
No, Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves? No, I think it was Jeeves.
I think it'd be a great product.
But that's now ask.com is still here, right?
Yeah.
If I can send the video of them taking it, because I think Larry Page and...
Well, this show's going to come to a grinding halt.
It is right now. It's halting.
Go back and check on your sales, because you only have a few minutes left, ladies and gentlemen, to get your buy-in for this bobblehead doll. Very special.
Would you do a little ad for the bobblehead while
it's a very special bobblehead doll, and it actually does look like Leo if you shake it hard enough.
Yeah.
Either that or Jay Leno, one of the two. Right.
I wanted to find the video because Larry Page and Sergey Brin come on stage in roller skates, and there's a young woman behind them, and I'm pretty sure it's Marissa Meyer, and I just want you to look at it and tell me
now,
if
that's a scandal, if true.
Why?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be.
No, she was like number six or something.
Yeah, it could be.
But she's a very different Marissa Meyer. She looks so geeky. It's really cute.
Did you see the picture of her in high school
2001.
That came out recently?
No.
She's actually literally wearing a beanie.
Yeah.
With a propeller.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's a high school
student. I think she was highly geeky, which I love. Good for her.
Yeah. It's okay.
I think it was career day. She was wearing a tie, business tie, and a propeller head.
Shoot. All right, here we go. I guess we're never going to see this, so we might as well go on to the next topic.
I'm going to find it, damn it.
Jeez.
How many Google
stubborn
how many Google heads have we sold?
There we go. Let's get that back to the point.
The real point is, how many Google heads have we sold? Oh, we're so close.
And it's not plastic.
214 sold. No, this is
polycarbonate.
Resin.
Okay.
It's a fine polycarbonate.
37
resin.
Left. Actually, 36.
All right. They're going.
36. We're at 36.
I'm sorry. People came here.
There's
they came here
half
to watch
an hour
a show.
Left, and we've got 36. Only a few minutes left. We're going to have to move to the next item.
Kara Swisher says, do you agree? She's, by the way, the person who's been breaking the news about Yahoo.
Yep.
Yahoo Mail is a consumer disaster, but the company's response is even worse, she says. Kick the can.
So I guess there's a falling out between those two.
Well, I don't think she ever loved Yahoo. She just was the inside person.
I don't think it's the disaster she says it is.
I don't think so.
It's a short-term disaster, and the response was awful, and the whole thing was a big clumsy mess, and not good because Marissa Meyer is a people are still on the fence about whether she's the greatest thing that ever happened to Yahoo or she's or not. But I think a year from now,
jury's still out, right?
Yeah, nobody will care a year from now as long as they don't have additional problems. As long as it doesn't become a trend. So,
according to Business Insider. You know what I want, says Marissa Meyer, to buy Imgur. This is the image storage site that's used heavily on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why Yahoo would want Imgur. I didn't realize it. Imgur was started in 2009. It's pretty new.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. It feels like it's been around forever.
Right.
It was started by Alan Schaff, who was a student at the time at University of Ohio at Athens. He made the site as a gift to Reddit because he was annoyed at how hard to use the web photo sharing sites were. So what do you think? $1 billion payday for the kid?
I think it should be. I mean, you can't.
Why would – they've got Flickr.
Yeah, but
– they wrecked Flickr. They might as well wreck Imgur.
I think they just want to get in on that. They want to harvest
they want the
Reddit.
Users.
Yeah, it's so closely associated with Reddit. You can't use Reddit without using this.
Right.
And so
you can't post all that porn on Reddit.
That's right.
Without using these products.
You need Imgur.
There's so much porn on Reddit that Yahoo should be ashamed of itself.
Well, not as much.
About Tumblr.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. What am I thinking?
But actually, Reddit's full of porn, too.
It
I
is?
Find both sites are pretty full
of porn. I just stick with Tumblr for porn.
Oh, okay.
So there's porn on Reddit, too?
Yes.
Good. Good to know.
So they
I wouldn't know, Leo.
I wouldn't either.
But John,
you do.
But John, how do you find the porn?
Correct.
Didn't they disable the porn from the search engines or something like that?
No, you can type in anything, you get porn.
Oh, really? I thought they stopped allowing you to search for it.
Yeah.
Let's try. No, maybe not. AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson. Remember, he's the guy who said the biggest mistake I ever made was unlimited data on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Now he says, we're not going to be able to subsidize these phones anymore.
I think this is the biggest... I'm sorry.
Get ready.
First
of all, they make the money back because they lock you in for 2 years on the subsidized
phone. They make so much more money on subsidized phones. People have no idea how much they're paying for that new iPhone and new Android phone.
It's $99.
Right. Exactly. And the remainder of that, they're not. It's not.
Monthly fee, baby.
Folks, when you subsidize something, that means you take money from someplace over here and you give it to people over there. That's what a subsidy is. What what AT&T does.
It sounds like communism.
They take money from you, and then they give you back less of what they took from you. That's what they're calling a subsidy. It's not a subsidy, and this whole thing that they can barely afford it feels to me like a publicity stunt to make people feel like it's a good deal. It sounds like they're really intending to do the opposite.
And by the way,
yes,
I don't think that HTC won such a great phone after all.
Oh, I gave you my one, and you don't like it.
It's battery. It's terrible. It just wants to drop dead. Like, you just got it fully charged. You pull off the USB thing, and you go, and it's dead. Yeah. It's not a phone I would buy.
And you didn't even put a card in it. You're not even using it as a phone. You're
I'm using it
as a Wi-Fi. Imagine putting in a card.
Oh, yeah, it'd be done.
Yeah. You have to really tweak it around to get decent battery life on that thing.
Well,
you got to run software.
There's some other issues with it too. You know, the plain vanilla.
You like their Nexus 5.
This is the old one. This is the Galaxy.
That's Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus.
Works fine.
It's like a year old, Joe.
Unbelievable. Eric, my son has the new one.
I love the Nexus 5.
And it's I don't know.
Next one.
Not great battery life either. They did just upgrade the camera, though. Yeah. That's a lot better. I think the Nexus 5 is a nice phone. All right. Anyway.
It's all right.
So you don't like the one?
No.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. Very disappointed because I expected that to be the best.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I'll give you a different one.
Okay. This is the only way I can do honest reviews.
This is it. You got to get it from me. This is the reasoning that CEO of AT&T gave. He says, smartphone penetration is at 75%. Soon we'll be almost all the way in, reaching 90% penetration. That means we don't have to be as aggressive in the device subsidies. He says, when you're growing the business, you're aggressive because you're trying to get people on the network. But as you approach 90% penetration, there's a dirty joke in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. You move into maintenance mode.
I could think of five.
That means... That means Steve more Ballmer. Device upgrades, and the model has to change. You can't afford to subsidize devices like that anymore.
I can't imagine
people spending $600 on a phone.
No, I think
as soon as he
over.
Turns off the subsidies, that's right. Nobody's going
to
buy a phone.
I think the prices are coming down so drastically they don't need to do this anymore. I think it would be a good phone, $200 max.
Moto X you can get now on Republic Wireless, off contract, $179.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. That's the price.
Is that the G or the...
That's the X. The G's even cheaper.
Yeah, I don't
All right,
know.
So you don't think this is greed on his part?
I think they're casting about for a model that's going to take them into a future where lots of people are buying off-contract phones. And, you know, the whole subsidy thing is a way to hide the actual costs.
Right.
Who knows what the
But
value.
It works.
It works.
It has consumers.
Worked. Absolutely has. And so, you know, here's somebody did the breakdown, and it's pretty stunning if you think about it. So let's say you get an iPhone and you get it subsidized, and let's say they subsidize $400 on that iPhone. So divide the 24 months of your contract by the $400, and that's what you're paying each month. So as soon as you've paid it off, right, and you don't get a new phone, if you don't get a new phone, you're still paying that money for that iPhone. Month after month after
for
month.
For years.
Right. They don't, as soon as it's paid off the 2-year contract, they don't reduce the price by the amount that they were charging.
Right. That's the profit.
It's a golden goose for them.
Right.
I just don't believe that it's like a big financial burden for AT&T to subsidize phones.
Yeah, you're right. This bull crap.
It might be, though, what he's saying is, but you know what? People don't keep it after the minute the 2 years is up, they buy another phone.
Yeah.
They buy another phone.
Well, they incentivize that. I mean, they say, okay, you have an upgrade now. So.
They want to keep you.
Right.
So here's another thing AT&T is doing. Would you pay, okay, here's a question for both of you guys. If you could get gigabit internet service, gigabit.
I could go for that.
$70 a month, but.
Yep.
But here's the catch. You have to participate in AT&T internet preferences. That means AT&T may use your web browsing information, like the search terms you enter and the web pages you visit, to provide you with relevant offers and ads tailored to your interests.
Where would these ads show up?
Would
they just show up constantly all over my screen?
Right. I think so. This Nebu ad, well, maybe it's not Nebu ad. Remember Form and Nebu ad, which were very controversial and finally had to stop doing business in the U.S.?
Right.
Okay, so this is from GigaOhm, Stacy Higginbottom writing. Stacy says, we use various methods. This is, he or she asked AT&T, how does this work? AT&T's response. We use various methods to collect web browsing information, currently reviewing the methods we may use for Internet Preferences Program. Whichever method is used will not collect information from secure or otherwise encrypted sites like banking. Thank you. Very nice of you, AT&T, or when a credit card's used. And we won't sell your personal information to anyone for any reason. AT&T does not plan to overlay ads on top of a site's existing ads. It will instead use its targeting abilities to deliver better ads. In other words, they provide that information to ad networks.
There's no such thing.
So back to your question, if all that was true, if they kept their word, I would be entirely.
You would do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
$70?
The headline says spy on your searches. But in fact, what they're doing is they're just giving you more relevant advertising.
They're doing what Google's doing already with my Gmail. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not relevant at all, but go on.
Well, but that's a failure. I mean, Facebook, if you look at Facebook's relevant advertising, it's completely irrelevant oftentimes.
Well, even Google's is not that good.
That's right. They struggle with this the quality of this
in
relevance.
In fact, the jury's still out on whether targeted ads work better than untargeted ads.
That's another good question. But if you could trust that that's what they were going to do with the data, then yeah, I'd definitely do it. The problem is, the reason all this stuff is creepy, and I've been thinking a lot about this lately.
Rolling this out, you may be asked this question sooner than later.
Absolutely. And the reason it's creepy is I don't think people really trust that they're going to do exactly what they say. I think AT&T is already selling your location information
to the government,
whoever comes
along.
To
the feds.
Well,
they
probably give it to them for free.
No. They make money. That's the beauty of it. They have a special government portal where they can charge them.
Well, that's good.
They also have a menu of prices where, you can get this,
$1.50 will tell you where that guy was any day of the year.
That's right. So, but if we could, that's the problem with all this kind of stuff. You don't know where this information is going. You don't know if the NSA is looking at this information.
They're looking at it
anyway. The Chinese government is looking.
So who cares? Yeah.
I do.
Okay. So you would not take this deal.
Here's what I would do. I would take the deal, but I'd find some hacker buddy of mine, and we'd jerry-rig the thing so they'd get phony search stuff, and I wouldn't get ads at all. They'd be shunted off to somewhere and say, oh, yeah, he saw that ad. Sure he did. And if phony clicks,
so you'd steal from them.
It wouldn't be stealing.
Yes, it would.
Well, what am I stealing? What specifically am I taking from
you're
them?
Taking, that would... You're getting cheap internet service,
yes.
And in response, not giving the explicit quid pro quo that they...
I'm giving them plenty of information.
But it's not your information.
So what?
I actually think John is onto something. This is the future of security. Everybody thinks you lock it down. And misinformation. That's how you foil these things. You don't do it by locking it down.
Disinformation.
Oh, the NSA could never encrypt my encryption. Oh, really? Nobody knows what the NSA is capable of, these people. This is what they, breaking encryption is what they
job.
Do. But misinformation, that's something that's very difficult for anybody to get
I
around.
Would just be sending them stuff that I'm spending all my time visiting Christian websites.
That's right.
Oh, but then what are the ads you're going
to
get?
I'm not going to get any because they're going to be shunted over to a virtual machine that's going to be looking at the ads, clicking on one once in a while that I'll never see.
Very clever. Well, it's not completely academic. They're already doing this in Austin. AT&T calls it gigapower. And isn't this what Brian Brushwood just got for NSFW? He's getting 500 megabits symmetric, right?
Think so.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable speed.
For $70? Is
that
what Brian's paying?
Can you put a server on?
Probably not.
Yeah, why not? With that kind of speed, your server's not going to use it.
I'd let him put a camera in my bathroom for that kind of speed. Truth is.
If they want to watch me urinate.
Scoble's done that.
Yeah.
You can also get a free HBO Go for 36 months and HD service, $120 a month with qualifying TV
services.
No, now
they're trying to sell you other stuff.
Yeah, they're upselling you. Yep. But you have to sign up for AT&T's Internet Preferences Program. That's the ad.
Hmm.
Did Brian sign up for that?
He's paying $100, whatever he signed up for, according to somebody.
$100?
Who's a very close follower.
And it's going to be rolled out fast all over the country. This is a new service AT&T wants to offer, fiber to the home. Fios, they kind of stopped building out Verizon Fios because they haven't really monetized it. They should have done this.
The Sonic guy's going to start doing this on his own.
I know.
He's piggybacking
Dane Jasper,
right
he's already
now.
Doing it up in Healdsburg.
He's piggybacking right now on most of the AT&T stuff, and he'll probably continue to
Look at that. Look at that. It's so fast, speed test doesn't even have a big enough dial for it. Look at that.
It buries the needle.
It's 100 megabits is the most. It's over 300 megabits he's getting.
We're going to need a bigger dial.
And we have 25 more bobbleheads.
We're down to 25, ladies and gentlemen.
Here I give you.
Should raise the prices.
From the 2000
Webby
Awards. Oh, you have it
already? Yeah, you have to skip in a bunch.
I'm in here. This is the Technical Achievement Award. Alan Cumming was the was the master ceremony. I was actually at this. This was up at the Masonic Auditorium on Knob Hill.
Let's see.
Desktop. These are the nominees. Desktop. Remember them?
No. Yeah, vaguely.
I don't. Nah. Desktop.com. And finally, here we go.
Oh, big round of applause.
Nobody ever heard of them in the year 2000.
Yes, they did.
Really?
Of course.
How old were they then? They were 2 years old?
No, about three.
They were running against The Station and Desktop.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner for technical achievement, the 2000 Webby Awards.
Come to this.
He says it with his great Scotch accent. Good Lord, this is tough.
And the winner.
Tedious.
The winner.
Giggle. Giggle.
Giggle.
Giggle.
We work really hard on it. We have a lot of people.
Wow. Look at Google in the year 2000.
My friend and myself. And we have, you know, lots and lots of people who work on it. And that's the only thing we do.
Yeah, very erudite.
Yeah, and more information.
Technology.
Yeah, really
good. You better get home or his mom's going to get really mad.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, now look at the third woman, the woman behind Larry and Sergey.
She on skates or
I not? Think that's Marissa Meyer. She's on skates. I think that's Marissa Meyer.
Who else?
Who else could it be?
Where? I don't see it.
She's joking.
And who's that guy?
I don't see him, Marissa.
There she is.
Oh.
I think that's her. Is that her?
No.
Are you sure?
There's no way.
No, that's not her.
That's got to be her.
That's not her.
No, it's not her.
No, not
okay,
her.
Never mind. Forget I even played that.
But yeah, who is it? We wish.
224 bobbleheads sold. I think it's going backwards. Our show
people
today.
Are returning them.
They're returning them already.
They're returning the bobbleheads. I'm sorry. You cannot yet gazelle your bobblehead. I don't think there's a market on gazelle. However, you can gazelle your smartphone.
You can eBay it. Tablet. You can eBay it for big dough.
This is such a limited edition. It's probably going to be, but that would be a forward looking statement. I shouldn't do that. The SEC.
You're not an SEC company.
Do you have an old Surface tablet and like to buy the new one? Do you have an old iPad and you'd like to get a new iPhone? Do you have an old Surface you'd like to get a new iPad? An old iPad you'd like to get a new Surface? If you would like to get rid of your old gadget crap, go to gazelle.com and they'll give you cold hard American dollars for your iPhone, your iPad, your old BlackBerry. I bet you, John, you've got lying around. You probably got a fourth generation iPad just sitting there that you got last year. Now you're thinking, I really want to get an iPad Air. If I could only get some money for my old iPad, it's in good condition. What's it worth, ladies and gentlemen? $255.
Wow,
that's actually pretty good.
Well, for considering it's just a piece of
metal, plastic,
whatever,
glass, unloved. They'll buy old iPods, MacBooks, Macs. Mm-hmm. Cinema displays.
I got an old iPod.
They're not going to sell. They're not going to buy an old.
The original.
Old they'll buy a Touch or Nano or a Classic. They won't buy the old ones.
Well, that's.
They will buy broken iPhones. So if you've got a cracked screen or a broken iPhone, they'll buy those too. Hmm. Here's the deal: you get an offer. That offer is good for 30 days. You do not have to send it back to them yet. You got 30 days to get the new thing. If you think there's going to be a new thing, like the Nexus 10, any minute now. I think in the next 30 days is going to be a Nexus 10. Maybe get a quote on your old Nexus 10 now. Just in case, and then when the new Nexus 10 comes out, you can pull the trigger. They will send you a box, pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck, and then send you a check, a PayPal. Galaxy S3 is worth $100. Wow. PayPal credit. Or if you buy stuff on Amazon, get the Amazon gift card. They'll bump that up 5%. Gazelle.com. It's the best way to sell your used stuff. If you forget to wipe the data, they will wipe it for you too. Gazelle.
After they copy it.
No. Why, first of all, they don't want your data, I promise you. Now, if you send it to AT&T, they might want your data.
I think you
want
to get all... You
know, wipe your data. No, you're right. I'm just saying.
Wipe your own data.
Wipe your own data. Everybody should wipe themselves. But
I've always
said if you forget to wipe yourself, they'll wipe yourself
for you. Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, I guess then you don't have to worry about it. Boy, the bobbleheads have really slowed down.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
Anybody interested at all in an Ubuntu phone? Anybody?
No. Nobody. Okay. Literally nobody.
Just
no, he's not.
I am definitely interested in to see what an Ubuntu.
Did you see that Norway is digitizing all its books and making them free to read online? Take that, Google. Yep. The National Library of Norway is digitizing every book in its collection, processing the text to make it searchable, and then saying it's online. I guess this is also happening in the UK and Finland.
It's incredible, and they're completely ignoring things like copyright and things like that. They're just
How dare they?
They're the government.
Librarians estimate the digitization of the entire collection, which goes back to the Middle Ages, will take, take a guess.
10 years.
20 to 30 years.
Wow. It should let Google get a head start on them.
You know what is actually kind of interesting? England did this. They let Microsoft scan, what was it? Was it a British magazine collection or newspaper collection? And they have now posted all of the scans. Microsoft gave it back to them after they scanned it.
Yeah. Why did this happen? Because Microsoft gave up on the scanning.
They gave up and said, just take
the crap. They not only gave up and they gave all the stuff, threw it in the public domain, literally. Gave a bunch of it to archive.org. They just gave it away. And then they abandoned all the scanners. Yep. So if the library had a scanner, they gave it to them. What kind of thinking is this?
Well, I think they were trying to compete with Google, and then they realized. So the British Library had millions of images. All of them are now on Flickr. And what they're trying to do, this is on what they call Flickr's.
No, Flickr this Commons. Is nice.
Flickr.com/British Library. Mm-hmm. And they want to crowdsource what this stuff is. I mean, look, this is amazing stuff.
Yeah.
This is taken from page 111 of Through Maasai Land, 3rd edition.
Shouldn't they have a caption? Maybe they should have shot the picture with the caption.
I know, they probably should have shot more of it.
To do this.
This is a page 134 of Swindon, 50 years ago.
Swindon.
This is Illustrated Norge's Histoire, the history of Norway, illustrated, Thomas Carter. Improved Stickfast's office pace.
That's a good product.
Double strength. Yeah. Cheaper, cleaner, and sticks much harder than gum.
I use gum.
It's warranted not to turn sour, made of the finest wheaten flour.
So it's flour glue.
It's flour glue. That
attracts varmints.
This is from page 284. But if there's a famine, you can eat it.
Yeah, it's true. You can eat the glue.
Think of
eat
it
the
that paste. Way. Yeah, it's your survival strategy.
I wonder if it's a mint situation. Flavor.
I think this is really cool. These are in the public domain, so you could use this as an illustration for your next blog post.
I could use this for the No Agenda Show at noagendashow.com, which I forgot to get a plug in for earlier.
No, I think we mentioned it right at the beginning, didn't we?
Well, I don't remember.
Does Adam really hate me?
No, you hate him.
I don't hate him.
Yeah. No, you and
he
Adam.
He tweeted, blow me, last time we were
He on. Did. I told him not to do that, but no, he knows better.
He thinks Twitter's private, probably. I don't think so. Was that an expletive or an invitation?
I think it was a mistake.
Image taken from page 385. This is great stuff.
Yeah, there should be a lot more of this kind of thing going on. And
I agree.
Nobody does this stuff better than Google, and this is what freaks out. A lot of
so Microsoft got out of it. So, frankly, yeah, I think
exactly. Just, I mean, everybody should know that when you encounter the reCAPTCHA thing, but what they're doing is you're working for Google for free.
Yeah, that's a problem. I agree with that, but I disagree that Google is doing. Microsoft had a much better product. You could do universal searches on all the books if. For that 2-year period where this product was out there where Microsoft was scanning books, if I was a grad student, I would have totally kicked ass because I could look through the entire collection that they had scanned for specific quotes from all these different products at the same time.
Yeah.
It was astonishing.
Why did they get out of that business?
It's never been answered.
It's crazy.
You know, I was on the committee to digitize the assets of Yale University some years ago, and they actually had used Microsoft to digitize a lot of it, and the rules I think were a little bit more stringent with Microsoft than they were with Google. Microsoft wanted to own it for a while, not forever, and they would eventually give it back as they have done here with the British Library.
Yeah,
but I think Yale decided to go with Microsoft.
Well, Cal Berkeley did too.
Yeah, a lot of universities, and then the initiative ended. So, but you're saying they got the hardware probably.
They did, but when they took the thing, they eliminated that search engine. That's the thing that made the thing so powerful.
Right. Yeah.
So they give all the stuff to archive.org. There's no search engine now.
It's just a dump.
Right.
It's just a dump. You'd have to go through all the stuff.
So that's what's going on at this Flickr site, and what they're hoping is that they can crowdsource at least some of this information.
But see, this is something Google would be really good at because Google is developing algorithms to identify what is in pictures. Now, I don't know that they've been able to turn it on woodblock prints or whatever. But you can see where that technology is going. It's just a matter of time before machine intelligence will be able to identify what's going on in the picture, what the era is, what the clothes.
My takeaway from this is that the sense of humor has really changed.
Yeah.
Many of these are cartoons.
Yep. Oh, it's hilarious. Look at these old.
This is from Gleanings. How I once went down the middle. This is funny, apparently.
Yeah, right. It's hilarious.
Culture, it's like, what?
Yep.
I'm sure that there's a lot of cultural background. You had to have been there,
is what you're saying. It changes rapidly.
Isn't that fascinating, though? Yeah. When I was a kid, I subscribed to Punch Magazine because I didn't get any of it. But I just thought it was interesting. Something that was apparently humorous.
Yeah.
It's like the Bennett Cerf books. You ever read?
They're not funny anymore. Yeah.
They're not funny anymore. They were never funny.
Well, somebody, he's the guy who sold more books than any human alive for a while. 10,200 pages.
Nice.
Of just weird crap.
Yeah, a lot of public domain art.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, good for the British Library.
How big is this image that you're looking at? What is the
The original size?
Do they have them? What sizes do they have?
I don't know. Let me see. Where could I find that out? Would be in info.
Do they have other sizes you click on? Or?
Well, it is a little cross-reference because I can click here to see all the illustrations in this book. Hmm. Click here to browse other illustrations published in books in the same year. And so they're hoping people will tag them. I mean,
no one's going to help tag anything. They're just going to steal these images, and that's going to be about it. They're going to start cropping up on the covers of O'Reilly's books.
Yeah, no kidding. This is a boon for Tim O'Reilly. All public domain. I don't see an X resolution, Y resolution, 1:1. That can't be right. So the EXIF data is incorrect, obviously.
It'd be nice to know.
There must be a way to download the original, but I don't. So here's somebody in the chat room, Johnny Monday, who loved both Punch and Bennett Cerf.
No, I think he liked the references.
I don't know. How long does copyright is since 1924?
Well, now
since Mickey Mouse was created, so
now it's changed.
This has
75
to be
really old stuff. Years after your death.
Yeah. Well, and Mickey Mouse we got a few more years before Mickey Mouse goes public domain, and that, of course, means that will trigger a massive effort
to keep it from happening. Yeah.
So, can you make like your infant child a co-author?
Yeah.
And then it's after their death. So you should have every person you know.
Oh, you should always do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know a baby, make
sure. Have a baby. Give the baby
Have a baby and copyright everything in their name.
You could do that.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant for what? To screw the public.
Absolutely.
Public domain exists for a reason. But okay, that's another
Ford topic has Ford, which consistently denied to me that they were working on autonomous vehicles. Have unveiled their first autonomous vehicle. Yes. It's amazing. They didn't work on this at all. Just emerged.
I have been to some of these press conferences, and I talked to them about it, and they said, no, autonomous vehicles suck.
They do.
It's the network car that you want. And then I talked to they have a consultant that's actually at the University of California, and I talked to him I did an interview with him, and he said, no, autonomous vehicles 50 years from now, they're never going to work. And I've always thought there was something.
The thing is that
they can't take a chance on that thinking.
Exactly. And it's not binary anyway. It's not like there's a fully, manual car versus an autonomous car. Cars are already semi-automatic, semi-self-driving.
My car does a lot of
stuff. Does a lot of stuff, and they're just going to keep adding those features. And every time they add more features, they get safer.
Right.
And so that just greases the wheels.
And insurance industry. In fact, this is being done in conjunction with the University of Michigan and State Farm. The insurance agency, it's only a matter of time if insurance companies say, hey, we'll give you 50% off your insurance if you drive a vehicle with these autonomous features, right? Or maybe not.
No,
you know what I learned the other day, and maybe you told me, that in order for the Google autonomous car to drive a road, it has to first be scanned with LiDAR.
Right.
They can't just drive down any arbitrary road. They have to prepare and create a map. And then have to load that into the car.
Years ago, I think it was like 10 years ago, my son Kevin over there and I went to the DARPA Grand Challenge. Remember
that?
That's
fun, yeah.
It was the first one. And I don't think any car made the whole track. And these were cars who were trying to navigate these little dirt roads. And it was hilarious. They had a motorcycle that fell over. There was one that went upside down. It's like some never made it off the starting line. And it's nowadays, the Google car has gone all these miles without a crash and all that kind of stuff.
300,000 miles.
It's clearly coming, and it's awesome It's an awesome field, for one thing, because all these companies are using different technologies. They're not all using the Google system of you have to map it in advance.
In fact, Ford says their cars have all are using technologies they're already using in their cars.
Yeah,
it's not they're not doing anything too foreign to what they're already doing, which I find is interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Hey, it's what fun to have you guys and just have we decided we do a little. Normally we have four or five people on a show. We thought we'd do a little smaller show, have you all in the studio. And it's been fun. We've sold more bobblehead dolls than we've ever sold before.
We're all into sales, Leo.
That's right.
Let me just check one last time to see how
you're flatlined.
Leo Laporte bobblehead. Yeah, you know, I can't hit 250. So that's the good news. There's still 17 left for anybody who hears this show later this week. There's almost certainly be one there for you.
Oh, well, I don't think so. It'll be sold out with
Teespring.com/twit.
Yeah, you're done.
John C. Dvorak, you are so good on the No Agenda Show. Please tell Adam Curry.
The No Agenda Show?
Yeah.
.com? Yes.
Twice weekly.
That's right. Yeah.
Sundays and Wednesdays?
Thursdays and Sundays. Okay. We stream live at 9.
It's my church. I listen in the morning. I don't go to church now. I just listen to you and Adam.
It's probably a better idea in the morning.
Amen, Leo.
And tell Adam Curry what?
Blow me.
Okay, I will. I'll tell him exactly that.
No, I love him.
You love him.
I love him. Tell him I love him, too.
Okay.
okay, we're going to beat so that we can cleanse our palates from that. Now, Mike Elgin is joining us starting in the first of the year. He's going to be taking over as news director. I'm proud. And by the way, the door's always open for you, John.
That's what you keep telling me.
I swear to God, I got a job for you if you ever want to come to work.
Yeah, I don't like sweeping.
No, we got an iRobot to do that. It just goes around.
It's a good thing.
Mike will be our news director. Yep. He'll be anchoring TNT and our nightly news effort, Tech News Tonight. And part of what we really wanted to do is bring Mike in to kind of beef up our news coverage because we feel like that you need a video source, an audio source of the latest tech news, and I think we're going to do a great job. I'm really thrilled to have you.
You know, the conversation that you had with Matthew Ingram and Jeff Jarvis on Twig this last week was phenomenal. That was the best conversation about the future of broadcast media that I've ever heard. It was such an inspiring, insightful conversation. And, you know, if anybody...
That's where we're headed.
That is where we are headed. Yeah. So that was just dead on, and everybody should listen to that.
Mike Elgin, Elgin.com. Just follow him on Google+, and you'll see a lot more of him. Yep. People want to know, though, are you going to go in the chat room? You're going to participate?
Oh, yes. You're not
going to be like one of those guys boarded up in the tower.
No. Journalism, the future of journalism is a collaboration between the audience and the content creators.
Hey, can I have another bobblehead? Well, I'm going to give one of these to Mr. Dvorak, and then I'm going to give one to Adam Curry, and let me just autograph it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And could you see Adam? Do you ever see him?
Could you get it to him? I can get it to him for sure.
We can mail it to him. I'm just going to write.
Just blow me on there. Yeah. That's what I feel.
Well, I'm talking about the ball.
We need a Sharpie.
Yeah. You know, a silver Sharpie would be good for this. And this for you, too. I know you don't really need this or want it, but you, too, you can have a bobblehead,
Leo. Thank you so much.
So now that means we've sold 241 because of you, too.
These don't count?
No, those don't count, actually.
I wouldn't think so.
No, we have a few extra for our in-studio guests. Thank you for joining us for Twit. We do this show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. Actually, 2300 UTC. You can watch live, and it's fun if you do. I invite you to do so. But if you don't get it live, on-demand audio and video, always available after the fact, just go to twit.tv or wherever you get your netcasts. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. How do you spell blow? B-L-O-M-E. Should I say two?
Two?
As well? Also?
Two is good. Also,
And we'll have Adam in for triangulation. Yeah, there you go. Sure, just mail that to him. It's autographed.
But tell him not to bring his gun.
Oh, there it is on the side.
On the base. We are going to be here next week. That'll be December 22nd. And then is that right, Chad? Is that, or our best of is next week?
Nope, you're correct. 22nd, we will have a normal show.
And then on the 29th, we'll have our best of. But we're also doing and you're both invited to this if you really want to come. We're going to do an all-day New Year's Eve party, 24 hours of New Year's.
It's going to be awesome.
Ring in New Year's starting at 4 a.m. Pacific on New Year's Eve, We're going to ring in the new year with every single time zone, and we have callers in almost every time zone now. If you have, if you want to sign up, will you do the Azores for us? All right. If you want to sign up, twit.tv/NYE, and we're just going to have a countdown every hour. In fact, in some cases, every half hour.
Wow.
27 New Year's countdowns.
Will fantastic.
Come on over.
I'm in Washington, actually, for New Year's, so I'm not going to be here.
Okay. I'm sorry, rehab. You're going to the rehab,
rehab place, exactly. Let's get that straight.
And, Leo, you're going to need it after drinking 27 glasses of champagne.
Toasts.
Toasts.
27 toasts.
Prost. Iran is not available. Thank you very much. There are five bobbleheads left. Oh, it would have been nice to sell these out during the show. But
well,
okay.
Come on, people.
No, I really want to go home now. Who is calling in from North Korea? Is it? It's some guy named Kim.
Kim. Kim. Yeah. Park.
Park. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Another twit. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. Wait. Let's see if it works. Another twit is in the can.
Doing the twit.
So I'm sorry to say we have sold out on the bobbleheads.
All right.
Lisa, can we make more? Okay, we'll make more.
Oh, you can't. You changed it.
It was listed as 7 days.
Well, we got to... I don't know how many... It says... I don't know what we can do. Well, how many more can we make?
We can take... as long as we get a minimum of 300 more orders.
Every 300, we could do another lot.
Yeah, they'll have
in March. Okay. But it takes 2 months to make these. No, so this is...
What time...
It takes a week to make them and 7 weeks to ship them. So don't get them for the holidays. These you're going to get, right, in time for Christmas?
Yeah, what a great Christmas gift.
It is a really crappy Christmas gift. But, you know, we will make... So every time 300 more people order, we can do another batch. But it won't come till March. Just be aware because of the exigencies of Chinese manufacture.